on this episode of Pottages.
Also, Aldemon is so ugly! Holy crap!
If we go all One Piece on this, understanding the weather, it means you can do magic!
I think I just can't stand Agunimon's head being on Burning Greymon's body. I'm like, no! Get that out!
The way Duskmon's like, why does he make me feel things when I look at him? Does seem very much like a crush.
A little bit.
Your password! You can use mine to get on the internet!
Pottages! Welcome to Pottages, episode 403.
Supreme Darkness.
Duskmon intro and Sakakumon arc.
Recorded February 18th, 2017.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical, supreme dark tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by my fellow Dark Trailmon, Ashley McDonald.
I am a little bit of loneliness, a little bit of disregard, handful of complaints, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see these scars. I am what I want you to want, what I want you to feel, but it's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you to just believe this is real. So I let go, watching you turn back like I always do, face away and pretend that I'm not, but I'll be here because you're all that I got. You let me get through a whole Linkin Park verse? Are you serious?
Which song was that?
I think it's Faint.
That means nothing.
By Linkin Park.
And the second background track to our Digimon Angsty AMV, Astra Softman.
I tried so hard and got so far. In the end, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Woo!
I don't have Linkin Park memorized like you do, actually.
And the final background track to our angsty AMV, Andrew Softman.
Crawling in my skin. I don't know what the rest of it is.
These wounds, they will not heal. Fear something, something.
How I fall. Confusing.
What is real?
What is real?
Well, for taking the good one.
I could have done that one.
My primary memory with these, I guess, they haven't all been Linkin Park, right? Some of them have been Evanescence?
No, they have all been Linkin Park.
Oh, okay. My primary memory of these is, like, Digimon AMVs, so.
So we got it right.
Oh, boy. This week we're looking at the Duskmon intro and Sakakumon arc of Digimon Frontier, with episodes 20 through 29. So here's a quick recap.
In episode 20, From Dawn to Duskmon, aka We'll Be Lost Before the Dawn, the kids arrive at the Emo Forest Continent and finally pay for a landscaper to cut down Arbormon.
In episode 21, Darkest Before Duskmon, aka If at first you don't succeed, try again to fill another episode. Goth Eyeball Armmon defeats everyone with the power of dramatic introductions, forcing the kids to regroup while Takuya forms a plan to lose again. Takuya stops believing and takes the midnight train going anywhere.
In episode 22, Home Again, Takuya returns, aka Home Away From Home 2, Lost in Shibuya. After failing his Duskmon midterm, Takuya runs home and fails to cause a time paradox. Instead, the plot clones Koji, who promptly meets his greatest enemy, Stairs.
In episode 23, Sokka Takuya, aka The Idea That Torture Is Effective Is a Myth Wholly Perpetuated by Fictional Media, Takuya returns with a weather forecast app installed, becomes the Avatar, and reunites with his lover to save the Almost characters from being tickled.
In episode 24, Alone But Never Alone, aka You Can Stand Under My Umbrella, Ella, Ella,
A.
The kids get sucked into an arc-long character separation plot device, and JP defeats a football commentator, Volcano Bro, and every gamer's worst nightmare, a boss from the Water Temple.
In episode 25, The Dark Heart of Friendship, aka You Ain't No Friend of Mine, separated inside the giant adult uncoloring book, Tommy and Koji unknowingly share an episode. Tommy learns a lesson about friendship. Koji doesn't learn anything.
In episode 26, Zoe's unbelievable adventure, aka the B episode, Zoe stars in Disneymon, Snow White, and the Three Honeybeemon. Elsewhere, another angry bird in a tree try to avenge their brethren but ultimately fail.
In episode 27, Stuck in Sakakumon with You, aka Bayo Teenage Wolves, while Takuya Leomon's an ice Leomon, Koji faces off against Darth Vader and unlocks a new faux Voltron evolution named with the creativity of a kid bored in high school English class.
In episode 28, Darkness Before the Dawn, aka This Mirror Just Got Queer, hey. Religious imagery goes up to 11 during the confrontation between Takuya and a fallen angel. Abominations are born from too many broken mirrors, and one sacrifice gives birth to a fully grown child.
In episode 29, Phantasmagoric Sakakumon, aka My Sakakumon Knows What You Did in the Dark, unable to do the cool new thing, the remaining kids do a stint on Are You Afraid of the Dark? Once Takuya's enlightened leadership banishes the shadows in their hearts, our heroes bust some balls through teamwork.
So, general impressions. What did everyone think about this arc? Who made that noise?
That was me.
I knew it. It was meh.
The arc gave us a lot of really good insights into the characters. I really actually appreciated all the flashbacks. I thought those were well conceived. But the arc itself is so blah. I hate any time where the kids are actually like stuck in something and not moving forward in some way. It's just like, ugh.
You see why I didn't like it when they got stuck in a forest forever.
Okay. Sure. They're at the forest you're talking about. Do these episodes actually feel like they're stuck in a forest for too long?
Yes.
No.
Because they're definitely stuck in Sakakumon, but I wouldn't describe any of this as being stuck in a forest.
Okay, well, I think it's combined with the next batch, because like Koji and Duskmon are somewhere else in the forest.
In the forest, yeah. I think also they're stuck in the same color scheme, really. Like, it's all reddish. And that, I think, informs the mood.
It's all
more
red
than,
and like black and just
it's
like
icky.
Blah.
It's icky.
Yeah, I think color scheme is actually the important thing, because like,
except for Zoe's episode, I guess, but Zoe's episode is garbage for other reasons.
Right. And actually, the fact that it doesn't match the others is really weird and off-putting in so many ways.
Yeah.
How does Mercurymon work if he's in there and he's out there?
Don't question that.
That's what I was like, this isn't.
He's piloting Sakak. Okay, if you're...
How's if you're here and I'm here, then who's flying the plane?
It's a podcast. No one's flying the plane, Asher.
Who's flying Sakakumon?
You don't know who's who. You be quiet.
I already have the problem where I say Ashley in a way that sounds like Asher. And then I just, like, my brain auto-completes the wrong way sometimes. Oh, boy.
No, I mean, I do that with my kids all the time, too. And when I say my kids, I mean my second graders.
My I'll babies.
Start call, like, I yell at all of them all the time. So when I start yelling, which it's not always the one that I need to be yelling at.
Fun.
I mean, the different zones of Sakakumon are supposed to be themed after different, like, on wikis and stuff, they're referred to as, like, you know, each one is the blank. There's, like, supposed to be one for each element, right? And so it makes sense for some of them to be different color schemes. It's weird that, like, the water area or whatever is the only one that feels like a very different color scheme than the others, but...
Well, Koji ended up in a forest, too, but I don't think that one had... Its colors were more muted, so since it wasn't as saturated as Zoe's level, it didn't clash as much.
Right. But like the area where JP was initially, the area where Tommy was, it's all like red, dark red, blahness. Like, and that's also pretty similar to Takuya, where Takuya fought Mercurymon, except there were lots of mirrors there.
Well, actually, you can easily describe the one Tommy was in as exactly the same thing, but with lava.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were definitely reusing some backgrounds.
Yeah, probably. Or like recoloring them a little bit, and then
just add water or fire.
Add watercolors. My impression was actually pretty different. I mean, I was surprised by how decent I thought this arc was. Maybe just compared to the others we watched, the first two we watched.
That's true.
But like, I was
well, sure.
That's real.
I mean, I just, like, even watching them, like, after watching the first episode, I was like, huh, that, like, I'm trying to remember what even happened in that episode. No, the first one, there isn't much to it. But by the second one, I was like, this is actually tackling, like, this scene is executed much better than I would expect of this show. And the dilemma they're facing is, like, sure, the execution is off in lots of parts, but, like, I am surprised by how decent this is. And
yeah, sure.
Episode 21 is the one where the animation suddenly got real good, right? And JP had, like, his little epic monologue thing.
Yes.
Yeah, episode 21. Yeah, that's...
Wait, what was the epic monologue?
He was like, he talked about digivolving your differences.
Yeah, exactly. How the diversity of Takuya and Koji is necessary to their team.
That wasn't really epic, but it was insightful.
It was epic for JP, okay?
It was epic for JP, yeah.
It was epic for this show.
Yeah, it was like so out of nowhere. He's like, it's the combination of all of our differences that make us such a good team. We balance each other. Seriously, can you imagine what it would be like if we had two Takuyas? Like, what? JP, where are you? How'd you get here?
That was both like an effectively insightful speech and mixed in a funny gag. I think it mixed in the funny gag of the chibi, you know, character designs or whatever in the two Takuyas, which like wasn't the most funny thing ever, but it was like, well, it was okay. It was well done. And I actually thought that the joke that JP ruined it with at the end, the like, I forget exactly what he says, but then
he's
like,
you want to hear my thoughts about love?
Yeah, and then she punches him. Like, that was like the first time where like I actually enjoy JP making a stupid comment like that.
Yeah, I think that joke was well timed. And yeah. I also, one thing I was impressed with throughout the Stuck in Sakakumon part of this arc, or the Stuck in Sakakumon arc of this batch of episodes, was none of the kids really gave in to thinking that their friends would turn on them. None of them did. They all believed. They had like moments of wavering, but then they were like, they checked themselves and they were like, no, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I know. I gotta believe.
Was that Parappa the rapper?
Yeah, it was. He just gotta believe.
Okay.
No wonder you're out of things on your soundboard.
No, that was from YouTube.
Oh.
It's not that's, it's like episode 21 just feels out of place given the tone of like the episode before, and then I guess the Takuya one after stays pretty serious, but then it just doesn't feel like, it just feels randomly thrown in there. Like, we had budget, in the same way that episode 21 in Adventure just has a random different animation. You're just like, oh, okay.
Okay, I'm gonna push back on this because like the difference in animation quality or animation in general in that episode was really, I don't think, that stark. I think it was, especially compared to like Home Away from Home and Adventure, I think what it was, I haven't looked this up, but like what it reminded me the most of is the stylistic shifts in 02 was where I started finding it much more obvious. And that was just down to like which was the key animator for that episode, and they would draw in more details.
It definitely felt like, you're not gonna do this again.
Episode. The kind of stuff that stood out was like more shadows and more detail, which is like very style, very reminiscent of that same kind of style that I'm thinking of. While we keep talking, I'll try looking that up.
I also think it may not have been a one-time thing so much as they're playing up the darkness thing because we've got Duskmon now. So that was my interpretation. I didn't think the animation style was that different, but I also watched those episodes a while ago.
Yeah, but like if it's an animator, then it's like, did they literally do this one episode? Because like none of the episodes before it are like that. None of the episodes after it that we watched are like that.
True. That is possible. You know, them hiring.
It is possible, but then I think that does not invalidate the Home Away from Home thing, where it's like, yeah, we had Hosoda come in for an episode.
What I'm saying is the difference between those, that style is very minimal compared to that. Like, there were those differences between episodes of 02 that you don't blink an eye at. You know what I mean?
Like, but it's also a difference in writing.
Okay. But I really don't think 21 stands out that much from the, it's like, sure, like it had, like, I also just don't think it was like that much more serious. Like, it had more humor too. Like, it had more goofy,
but that's why
gags.
It's like the writing was better generally in that episode, along with the animation being better.
Right.
Which is why I'm trying to argue that, like, I don't think it's some anomaly. Like,
I really don't think, like, I can understand your argument if it was like that episode was much more serious than the others. It seems like they're planning it to be much more serious. Or if they were saying that episode was much more funny than the others, they're planning it to be much more funny and lighthearted. But to say, like, it was just generally better than the others, therefore they planned it to be better than the others, seems like, if they could do that, they would just make everything better. Like, and it's not just a matter of like, oh, throw more money at this one to write it better.
No, because I think that's where they were like, there's going to be a tone shift. Now it's Duskmon.
No, but the tone shift doesn't... Oh, so you're saying...
Takumon.
I mean, like, maybe the writers put more effort into that or something, but like, I really don't think when people like watch the season, they come back and like, oh yeah, that episode 21, that really stood out, especially compared to 21 Adventure, where it's like, and especially right next to 22, where it's like, oh, I have a whole segment about that, but
22 was so boring though.
What I'm saying is 22 doesn't have the same stylistic difference from the rest of the season like Adventure does with the Home Away From Home episode. But the content...
It's also so much more flashbacks than...
It's very much like... It seems like it's trying to save budget and not be an expensive episode like I assume 21 of Adventure was.
Well, see, again, I actually interpreted that as they spent more money on episode 21 of this. And then we're like, damn it.
Yeah, I really don't think it's that simple. Like, oh, on week one, we spent too much money. Oh, no, week two, let's save money. Like, in the aggregate, maybe. But like... I think jumping to that conclusion is a bit quick. It doesn't need to be that sloppily scheduled that it's like, oh, we spent a little bit more in this week, so next week, cut that. I don't know. This arc, yeah. I mean, like we've alluded to before, like I think the character development in Sakumon was neat and unexpected that it took so long to get to it, you know, but neat that we finally got it.
The way that the kids in Adventure have... character development is not you showed me heavy flashbacks all the time. Like, it's true for some of them. Like, you get Tai and Kari.
I very much agree. And that is one of the main things I want to talk about in my segment. Because, yeah, that's really it seems pretty weird they needed to rely on that. There were some interesting power dynamic shifts over this arc. I mean, one thing, like, it felt to me a lot like, I mean, definitely the first four episodes. So this is basically, this chunk of episodes is kind of like two different arcs. There's the Takuya, or Duskmon gets introduced, Takuya is really bold and loses to him, goes back to Tokyo, then comes back, you know, like, more attuned with nature, whatever, and that's basically one mini arc.
Well,
and then
there's the... really, yes. It's not that he's in tune with nature, he's in tune with himself.
They explain in episode 29, they're like, as a Digimon, you're connected more with nature, like he blatantly says.
Right, I think what makes sense from what he would have learned in Tokyo is he's more in tune with himself. But I think, you know, what they actually showed was that he was like, I understand the world around me now. And so like, I am going to whatever that whole thing was.
I've learned from the Native Americans and now I am in tune with nature. I'm like, no, get away from me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, mechanically, I think it's BS. And it really isn't anything more than like playing up those like tribal Native American stereotypes of nature. Yeah.
And also, Bokemon and Neimon can't do it.
Yeah. It's not like a thing that all Digimon can do. Like,
right, it's a thing legendary warriors can do, maybe, because they are actual representations of their element, but it's, no, the way they worded it.
But then it's like, Takuya's like, I'm cool in the rain, you're fire, what the heck?
I mean, I can understand that, actually.
I mean, I thought that was so weird, because I thought what they were going for, like, when he's acting all victorious, there are three things going on with the weather. There's snow, wind, and lightning. And the three spirits of the elements he's trying to save are ice, wind, and lightning. Like, I thought the point of that, like, would be, okay, they are strengthened in these conditions or something.
Right?
But instead it's just like, fire's good in them too? Like, it felt like it was off and was basically just like, oh, well, now I'm one with nature and therefore more powerful.
Well, it makes a certain amount of sense, especially, you know, if we go all One Piece on this, understanding the weather means you can do magic. No, but
okay. I am mad that the way Nami fights is entirely through some magical device concocted by someone else who does not have any reason to have been able to make a magical device. Like, bleh.
Whatever. Her magical device is BS, and it comes to her as BS, and she's like, what is this? But then the real technique here is her understanding of air currents and what's going on, and I can understand Takuya, with a better understanding of himself and blah, blah, blah. that connection is still nothing, but if he really is more in tune with the elements and the elements of his friends, it could make sense for his fire to also be stronger if he's using it in certain ways subconsciously that the writers don't understand and the animators don't try. Yeah.
Well, I just thought it was funny because the first thing he's like, I know it's going to rain in like 5 minutes. I'm like, that's not actually like anybody could predict. Okay.
It doesn't like affect anything.
Well, it's also just like, it's not actually hard for humans to like predict that it's going to rain soon by just sensing it sort of deal. But okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait, this is weird. I'm looking up what other episodes that the director of that episode that you were talking about, Ashley 21, did. The Japanese director, obviously. And they did an episode in 02 called, in the dub, The Darkness Before Dawn. So, you know. Not reusing titles at all.
No.
But it doesn't seem like it's the same director as the ones that I think of from Zoo. Like, I'm thinking when they come back after defeating the Digimon Emperor and they're, like, in the car and it's just, like, their faces have tons and tons of detail. That kind of style that was kind of, like, interspersed throughout 02. It doesn't seem to be that director, which is my... Anyway. Yeah, but... Oh, well, the one thing that I was, like, okay, I was trying to get at how, like, this is basically two different arcs. There's the four-episode thing with Takuya, like, you know, losing and coming back strong or whatever. And there's the Tsukakumon six episodes, or five episodes where in Tsukakumon, then one episode where they defeat Tsukakumon. And usually I'm like, oh, well, we kind of haphazardly strung them together into one thing. But there was actually one moment that I was like, no, this actually makes sense to look at as a cohesive whole of these 10 episodes. Because in the thing that Takuya and Koji fight about in episode 21 is whether they should run away from Duskmon when they can't beat him. And Takuya's like, no, like running away is stupid. I will not agree to run away, whatever. And then in episode 29, JP suggests running away from Tsukakumon. He's like, yes, we should run away. And I was like, oh, you have grown and learned from that thing that was the beginning of this arc.
Yep. And I liked that they didn't like push that on us. Like they didn't say, oh, like literally to go, oh, Takuya's learned. No, we're allowed to make that conclusion.
Yeah. Like I learned in Tokyo.
Okay, it made sense when they were like, let's run away from Duskmon, because Duskmon was, like, incapacitated in some way. Like, clearly he was having a moment, and they were like, okay, we see an opportunity to run away. Yeah. They're running away from Tsukakumon was like, how are you gonna run away from freaking Tsukakumon? Like, he's just, like, gonna chase you. He's better than you. Like,
okay, I guess they didn't know that he was that nimble.
Yeah, I don't think he'd moved, like, I don't think he'd changed locations at that point ever.
But it does seem like, running away from Duskmon made more sense.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think it was ever actually described this way in the show itself, and it was just wikis. But in the show, I'm pretty sure in the dub, they just refer to it as the Continent of Darkness. But from what I can find in wikis, they refer to it as the Dark Continent that they are on in these episodes. And I just wanted to bring that up because I'm like, that is a little bit problematic and troublesome because...
That's racist.
Dark Continent is a like colonial way to refer to Africa and
stop it dub stop your no, frontier
no, 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 no. Actually, what I'm saying is the dub did not say that. The dub referred to it as the Continent of Darkness. And the wikis all just refer to it as Dark Continent, even though in Japanese it is more worded. It's like, you know, darkness, continent of darkness. Anyway, it doesn't seem like it's that common of a thing to come up these days, but there was at least, like, I think from 2008, a, like, controversy where some reporter referred to Africa as a dark continent, and then people were like, holy shit, you could not say that. So, yeah. But also, like, I'm curious what the literature students in the room think about this, but I kept wondering if this continent and everything around it was inspired by Heart of Darkness or not. I'm curious what you think.
I doubt it.
I think Heart of Darkness
Darkness is a book that you are forced to read in high school, and it's bad.
Well, no, I mean, it's true. No, now I think with a more modern progressive look at it, I think that's the consensus that it is like super problematic and racist and stuff.
It's also poorly written.
I would agree with you about that. I hated reading it. Like a lot of kids did.
It's supposed to be like one of the first instances
of a novel
modernism.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah.
Because
the only thing that I really remember is there's some description of an arrow being shot that is supposed to be like, this is the era that brought in modernism. And I'm just like, what? Okay, fine. Like, screw you. I still hate
boring,
this book.
Terrible book. Bad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
No, I really don't think this was inspired by Heart of Darkness at all, because Heart of Darkness is not read by people that don't have to read it.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't even
true.
Know what Heart of Darkness is.
Really?
Joseph Conrad.
Oh, God.
That's his name, right? I saw somebody reading it on the train the other day, some dude, what? And I was like, you're a terrible dude. I hate you.
Okay. Maybe it was for college or something.
Yeah.
Still hate him.
How dare you take a class that... but yeah, in case people aren't aware of the, like, modern reaction to it, like, looking at the Wikipedia article, there's, like, it's been, like, widely criticized in post-colonial studies. It represents, like, a really racist portrayal of Africa.
It super does.
Yeah. And
well, what classic book doesn't portray whatever
Lots.
You just said?
And also, like, Lots. Yeah, there's literature from Africa. There's no reason
no,
to...
American literature. Classic
well,
American
Joseph
literature.
Conrad
this isn't American.
British.
Western.
But okay, but you don't need to consume Western literature about Africa. You can anyway. I was just thinking about it because it's like, you know, like the concept of going to this like continent that is enshrouded in, you know, metaphorical darkness and is like finding the leader and then finding someone who is wrapped up in that dark, like what I remember of Heart of Darkness and Apocalypse Now and whatever and things that have inspired it is that like they go to find their like old mentor, but then they've been kind of corrupted by the place and become the evilness that is there. And that is kind of Duskmon. I don't know.
Do you want to like pretend that that trope is not ancient?
Yeah, that's what I was also saying. Is that just like a basic
a trope
that exists throughout? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Period.
Did anyone have nostalgic memories about this arc in particular?
Not really.
No.
No, just...
I remember not liking it that much.
I don't remember any of this.
I remember the flashback bits. and my brain put them earlier in this show. No.
I kind of wish I had thought to ask this question in all the previous arcs, because I... do think there were a lot more things that stood out to me that I have memories associated with from those, but this one, it's like I remember some of these events happening. Like I remember Agumon returning and being stronger and attuned with nature or whatever, and I remember the Mercurymon fight, but I don't remember or the fight, you know.
I guess that's true. I do remember Flaymon.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that episode, but I never had a nostalgic connection to it.
Yeah, it's like I remember these things happening, but I don't have any memories associated with it. It's just the closest I could think of is that like the Sakakuma, the way Sakakuman works, like with the eyeballs, you like walk through like doors. At the time Frontier came out, I was really into playing Metroid Fusion, and that is very similar to like you're in corridors and then you go through eyeball like doors.
Okay.
It's totally a thing.
I think like even now as we speak, I just finished the episodes 2 hours ago. Even now as we speak, like I'm forgetting what happened. I think there are nuggets of character goodness in this, and the actual plot of the episodes is very forgettable.
Mm.
Yeah, though, like, at one point in whatever episode, Takuya fighting Ice Leomon, I was like, I literally should have skipped this to save time in my life. This was so worthless. Like, this meant nothing.
The kind of like who they're paired up against and they're who they fight to get out of their thing. It's just like it's random and okay. I've one last thing to rant about in general impressions, and it is about evolution levels. Like before we got to Frontier, I would have said that, and until recently actually in our rewatch, I would have said that I liked how Frontier doesn't have power levels. You know, like it's like kind of like a nice twist on the formula or whatever. But it really started to show in this arc, I think, that without concrete evolution stages, it's really hard to parse the weight of certain events. Like, it feels like Frontier, in its kind of, like, paralleling adventure or echoing adventure, is doing things that are supposed to carry a ton of weight because of the difference in evolution stages. But because the evolution stages don't exist, you're just like, okay, was that... So, like, some of the examples I had were, like, you know, like Mercurymon defeating Seraphimon. Is that supposed to be a big deal or not? Like, we haven't seen Seraphimon fight. So, like, and he's not stated as being a mega-level Digimon. Or, like, even, like, in the adventure canon, he's, like... not even, like, we haven't seen him in Adventure aside from Hurricane Touchdown or whatever, but, like, you would assume because Magna Angemon as an ultimate is as strong as a Mega, that, like, Seraphimon as a Magna would be, like, even more, like, one of the most powerful Megas ever. So, like, is Seraphimon getting defeated by Mercurymon supposed to be a huge deal? Mercurymon's, like, the biggest, like the strongest thing ever? Or is it just like, okay, Straffing was shown to fight once and he lost, so like not that good. And he was mostly just like a tactical leader or like a wise, you know, governor or something. Like, and
I mean, I interpreted it as like Serafimon has been asleep that whole time and just like whatever was weak from that.
Yeah, it's possible. But like without, we don't know, like we don't know if he's supposed to be stronger in general. Like it's the only example we've had of him fighting. And it just like looking back at Adventure, it made me realize how really well Adventure did this. Like Adventure was the first season, like it had to set up the idea of these power levels or these evolution stages. And it set up like a really basic rule system, which was like, you know, the basic default assumption was anyone at stage A could easily decimate anyone a stage below them and be decimated by anyone a stage above them. And basically like the formulaic pattern episode was like the Digimon just needed to reach stage X in order to beat a Digimon of stage X. And they very occasionally broke that rule to show that things were like this is serious. You know, like they, once they get to Devimon and Devimon's able to just like trounce all the champions and even all the champions together, that's like, okay, Devimon's a huge deal. And like Myotismon beating all the other ultimates, similar kind of thing. Angemon going toe to toe with Myotismon, even though he's a champion, was like, okay, that's a huge deal. Dark Master is crushing the Megas. Rookies beating Shellmon once they've like, you know, they've gotten experience as rookies or whatever. And then Magna Angemon defeating Paimon. Like those are all examples of like, they set this pattern by like every episode having this formula and then breaking it and being like, okay, this is serious. But like, I think the only example of that in Frontier is Duskmon, because we've seen like a lot of examples of the humanoid spirits and beast spirits. And we get the formula that like humanoid spirits aren't that strong. Beast spirits are a little more powerful. And Duskmon is able to beat all the beast spirits without any, as a humanoid spirit. And we're like, okay, Duskmon's a big deal. That's like the one instance where it's handled well. But like with Seraphimon, with Shadow Seraphimon in this arc, like, is the fact that Aldemon beats Shadow Seraphimon, is that supposed to be a big deal? Was Shadow Seraphimon supposed to be like a huge, this is a mega level threat that an ultimate took down? Or I guess if you're going by this, like pacing wise, Aldemon would be more like a mega. But yeah.
I mean, Shadow Seraphimon is interesting because I believe we are all to assume that shadows and mimics of things are weaker than the thing that they are.
Oh, really? Mimicking. Because, like, that's definitely the impression I got from the fact that Adamon was able to beat him so easily. But I would actually assume that, you like, generally the trope seems to be that you add darkness to things, it makes more things more powerful.
No. It makes them surface level more powerful. It makes them, like, you conquer it in the end because it's a weak shadow of you.
Wait. No, elaborate on that. Wouldn't it make sense because Kakumon is really Seraphimon and the Seraphimon that became Shadow Seraphimon is like a copy of the original, so it's a...
What?
That was confusing.
Because killing, when he kills Shadow Seraphimon / Mercurymon, it's Sakakumon, who is Mercurymon is also still alive. It's really
Why you confused me.
Right. It also doesn't help that, like, so in Japanese, it's Seraphimon and Sephirotmon, like...
Yeah. I think that's probably the point, actually.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, huh. But, you know, yeah, I think Ashley's point that, like, yeah, because it's a copy, I think it's supposed to be not as strong. But my main point is that, like, it's weird that we have to be like, is this a big... I guess it's not a big deal, because I guess it's a copy. Like,
I don't know. I don't think your Aldemon thing holds up, because, like, I think you're supposed to be like, yeah, Aldemon is just, like, your new badass thing that's stronger.
Yeah, and also, I don't know if the comparison you should be making is Shadow Seraphimon to Seraphimon, but rather Shadow Seraphimon to Mercurymon. He's just a human spirit, and we've been thinking of those as champion levels, but we've also been set up to consider Mercurymon, you know, the leader of these bad dudes. So if we're fighting a champion level bad dude, it seems sort of weak sauce if he's not, ranked up in some way.
But I think when he, like, you know, assumes the form of Shadow Seraphimon, I think you're supposed to get that he has, like, maybe not all the power of Seraphimon, but, like, a decent amount of
it. Okay, well then, in that case, my instinct is to be like, oh, Cherubimon was worried about Seraphimon. They're equal power level types, and we just saw Cherubimon at some point. So it is worrisome. I think there is intimation that he's a mega.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. It just...
I mean, I agree with you that Frontier not having explicit power levels can make it somewhat confusing, but yes. I do think that it's done a fairly decent job of being like, okay, here are the power levels. We've made them clear who's stronger here. Mm-hmm. When we break it, it's like, yeah, it's a big deal. But like, also clearly somebody got powered up with something.
No, but I feel like it's not like, I don't think it's that it's the result of it being poorly executed, is that things are confusing. I think it's just like things don't carry as much weight as they would if there were bigger expectations put into it. That like Shadow Strophmon being defeated, I don't think felt like that big of a deal. But if like it had been hyped up more through power levels being explicit and many instances of patterns of like megas being able to crush them or whatever, and this is supposed to be a mega or whatever, that like that would make it more impactful. And I think it probably was more impactful to people who have seen the other seasons and are aware of these power levels, even though they don't state them in the show, like who are like, well, yeah, Strophimon's supposed to be a mega, Shadow Strophimon's also supposed to be a mega, like they're aware of that even though the show doesn't say it, I think get more out of that. But I feel like the show itself didn't like make it feel like that impactful of a victory.
I mean, I can't take my experience out of my viewing. So
did you feel like it was an impactful victory, even knowing that he's supposed to be Omega or whatever?
I don't think it's a matter of the power levels, though, in that case. I think it's a matter of, like, Shadow Seraphimon is introduced for, like, 5 minutes, and then Aldemon is introduced, and it's like, okay. And then he defeats Shadow Seraphimon, so you're like, well, that just felt like it didn't matter from lack of, like, development of anything.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's true, yeah. For me, the trouble that, what is he before he's Aldemon? What's his beast spirit? I can't keep track of this.
Burning Greymon.
Burning Greymon!
Right, Burning Hunk of... Yeah, okay. Burning Greymon, like, the amount of trouble he had made me, you know, I thought that it actually had more of an impact than it could have. Because, I mean, changing the appearance of the main villain we've been hating on for a while could have really killed the energy. But it did middling okay, I think.
Did middling okay.
Also, cool. Aldemon is so ugly. Holy crap.
Wow. Hater. I don't remember him. I feel like these fusion spirits don't really stand out much. They're just like, they just feel like I get them confused with the beast spirits. Or no, sorry,
That's because they're a toy advertisement.
Well, they're also literally just like the human spirit with the beast spirit on his armor.
Yeah.
I think I just can't stand a Goonimon's head being on Burning Greymon's body. I'm like, no! Get that out!
There were a few toys in the Frontier toy line where it's basically you have this base like figure and then you put everything on as armor. But if you buy the beast spirit and the human spirit, you can create the fusion.
Yeah, but it's still ugly.
Oh, but it really, now that Ashley mentioned it, it really is just like Burning Greymon's body and Agunimon's head.
Yeah, no, for real.
Like, yeah.
That's all it is, and it's really disturbing.
I mean, this seems like an intriguing concept for a toy. You know, if you're going to make some kind of evolution that fits into a toy line well.
Oh, it's a very great toy, actually. Except I only have
But I don't want to look at that, so...
I only have the human... I only have Agunimon / Takuya.
The final note on like my evolution or evolution level thing was that like I feel like the other seasons at like 02 and Tamers and when I remember Sabers, but obviously far away from that, they don't really try to do the thing Adventure did with like hyping up the difference in power levels more, or like showing exceptions to power levels as being a thing that has impact. So they don't really quite have the same problem. They do it differently. But like because Frontier tries to parallel Adventure in so many ways that I think it ends up paralleling it in ways that are hurt without having the same infrastructure that Adventure had of those levels. And then we're eventually going to get to Cross Wars that doesn't even have power levels again. And
oh god, that is even worse than this season.
Yeah, from what I call it's just like anyone can beat anyone. It's just kind of whatever happens in the episode happens. That's how I remember it. Okay, now to take a break, we're going to read an iTunes review. This time it's from... we've seen this name a couple times before in the past. I've never known if it's supposed to be pronounced like Ryu Dragon or... Omar Yu, I think, is how it's pronounced, from Saudi Arabia. And Ash, can you read the original review?
Mm-hmm. So the title is, You're the Best! OMG! Best of luck! Love you and your work! Keep up the good work!
Aster accurately portrayed.
Oh my god, that was great, Ash.
You're welcome.
In case it's not clear, the text is very, how would you describe it? Lots of repeated letters and exclamation points.
Lots of repeated, and it's in caps, so you know you gotta scream it.
lots of exclamation points.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we transgarbled it between, I think for this one I mostly used Japanese, a little bit of Latin, a little bit of Hebrew.
Woo!
So now the title goes from You're the Best to
You're the Best. That is, they are related. That is, they are related.
Okay. That is, they are related.
OMMMMGGGG.
That one didn't change at all in translation.
It's like, I don't know what to do with this.
No, because I think every language I translate into was just like, this is not a word. This is just a thing.
This is not.
This is a name. I'm going to keep it intact. So, and then best of luck became,
I am privileged.
I'm glad you could admit that. You could admit that, RobotMon.
What a random. And then love you and your work became,
please work on VVVVVV.
Hey, we don't work on that game.
Yeah, it's a game. So, like, I don't know how it. Oh, I guess because love had that many V's in it. I think maybe in some dictionary, yeah. It's like, yeah, this is a thing. Like, because I was using Google Translate, so Google's probably like, this is a term, a search term I've seen before, so it's definitely a word. And
oh my god.
And then finally,
reload. G G O O O O O D W O O O O O R K.
That was a keep up the good work. Turn into that.
Reload.
Reload.
Sounds like a Digimon term.
So, I guess it shouldn't come to a surprise to anyone after how I talked about the kids returning to Tokyo in Tamers and Tai returning to Tokyo in Adventure, but I really like the themes that Digimon has played around with. It really explicitly, this is only the second time with Takuya returning home. The stuff in Tamers, I was kind of forcing a little bit. It wasn't, you know, I don't think it was very explicit in the narrative, but it was just similarities to Adventure. Here, it's definitely an explicit callback to Adventure. Almost exact episode number. Not the exact episode number. This is episode 22, whereas Adventure is episode 21. And it seems pretty clear, like we were discussing before about animation style and stuff, that this episode did not seem to have the same kind of animation budget, hypothetically, or freedom, hypothetically, that Adventure had in terms of devoting, you know, like a guest animator with what seemed to be higher budget, or at least, you know, conforming to their style. It's probably harder to do in Adventure. And this episode, this season, was much more of a, no, there was no art style change, lots of flashbacks, which, you know, is a typical sign for trying to pad time and fill, make budget stretch farther in anime. So it definitely wasn't the, like, more like auteur episode like it was in Adventure, but I still appreciated it. And it also, like, Adventure, I thought, okay. So I think this episode had two different levels. The first level was not being able to return home, which is very similar to Adventure, but I felt like Adventure was all subtext. You know, it was all like Tai coming home and then being like, things are different. Things are different because I've changed. And like this really calm life that I used to adore, like I can't just put aside everything and just live this calm life. Like there are things that are calling back the digital world and everything. But in this season, in this episode, it's like subtext throw it to the wind. It's just Takuya or whatever Flamon, Takuya says lines like, it's all the same, well, except for me. And I went home, but it was the same and I wasn't. I mean, he's obviously explicitly referring to his, you know, being half Digimon form or whatever that is. Rookie Gunimon form, whatever. Flamon. But
when he said that, I was like, I have feelings.
Oh, really? So, okay. So that made you feel things.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a little bit arbitrary because, like, at least comparing it to Adventure, because in Adventure, like, the reasons he can't go home felt like they were well articulated through things other than dialogue. Like they were, you know, through the general mood and the like urgent, like the Izzy showing up on the monitor and stuff like that. Whereas this, it's just, he can't return back because he's stuck in a Digimon form. Like, yeah, that's the reason he can't, you know, like it's much more forced and like arbitrary plot reason.
Well, I don't know. It's complicated because also it's like, it is the Digimon thing, but there's also now, like, time travel involved with it.
Yeah.
That makes it complicated.
Well, one of my questions, I just have, like, a discussion question listed here, which is, like, How do we feel about the random introduction of time travel at this point and only for this point?
Awesome. I love time travel.
I do too. I don't know how I feel about it, though, here.
Me, I like it.
Well, all of that is to say that, like, beyond him being a Digimon, there was, like, I will create time mess up. I will mess up time if I do this.
Yeah, but it's never expressed in that, like, I will destroy the universe if I change time or whatever. It's just, like, I want to... Well, okay, so that's what I've written down here as, like, the second level, which is something that I don't think was ever explored in Adventure, and is the one part where, like, that introduction to time travel really makes it feel different from Adventure in good ways, is that because of the time travel aspect, it becomes kind of about, like, the mission he has in the episode is about, you know, like, canceling his coming to the digital world, is about him, like, having so much regret because of what he's recently done that he wants to, you know, prevent his involvement in the show, basically. And that is definitely an aspect that is not in Adventure. And I like you know, like the introduction of time travel for that purpose. And I think that, like, is a good way to really make us feel for his, how much regret he's feeling, basically. And in the scheme of things, like, even though the melancholy and the mood of Adventure's Home Away From Home episode is really great, like, the reason that Ty gets sent home is, like, a totally, you know, random, plot mechanical reason that has nothing to do with his character or his arc at all. I mean, it does tie into his arc, right? It's like the height of his...
But basically, it's because the plot commands him to go back.
Right, exactly. Whereas in this, it's like... There obviously is plot contrivances, like him randomly ending up at the dark terminal and everything. But, like, it definitely feels like he goes back because he is depressed about this recent failure and him laying down everyone and stuff. So it feels like it ties into his, like, the existence of the episode ties into his character better than Ty's episode did. I just said Ty a lot.
Are you tied up?
I'm all tongue-tied. I'm all never mind.
I mean, the thing that feels weak about this episode, though, is that, like, I get the point is that in the end, he doesn't really want to prevent his past self from going to the digital world, but, like,
in the end, it doesn't even matter.
In the end, it doesn't even matter, exactly. But, like, you know, because in the first episode, we are shown that there's, like, such a time constraint on how Takuya gets to the digital world in the first place. It's like, flame on. If you literally took 5 more seconds to just, like, sit on top of Takuya's face or something, like, he would miss the train. Like, and so, like, in that way, it feels super annoying because it's like, it really wouldn't take much to derail this. And somehow, exactly, somehow, like, you attempted it several times and still failed. Like, it just doesn't feel genuine to me.
Well, yeah, that does feel like, especially in the, like, I think basically up until the elevator scene, it feels like, how are you feeling this bad at this? Like, you know, just not push him down and that'll delay him 5 seconds and you'll be fine. But once he's on the elevator, I think it makes sense because that's when he's actually, like, he then chooses to hold back because of what he's decided, not because of being unable to. And I feel like actually, so right. One of the things I thought, like, as soon as the episode started was, like, as soon as it was clear that it was a time travel situation, was like, oh wait, there were weird things that happened in the first time we saw this scenario go down. Like, a random soccer ball comes out, he almost gets run over by a truck. Wouldn't it be so cool if this were a causal loop, like a time travel causal loop, where those things happen because Takuya interferes and, like, you know, tries to throw the soccer ball at him, distract him, and get him caught in the traffic accident so that he gets delayed or whatever? That would have been so great. And I feel like that's maybe just because I love causal loops in time travel fiction. And in the scheme of things, if it did go that route, I feel like it would have been worse because that would have meant that, like, in a causal loop situation, there would have been nothing that Takuya could do to prevent his past self from doing whatever. And, you know, like, then it would have been, like, there is no way, or at least, you know, like, I don't know, sometimes time travel fiction tries to break causal loops or whatever, but there would have been basically no way for him to change the past. But instead, it's set up in a way where it's like, no, you could change the past. You failed a little bit, and then you eventually just decide not to do it. I mean, it's unclear if he actually would have been able to or whatever, or how time travel mechanics would have worked if he had done it. But, like, I like that he, in the end, had the option, or, like, it wasn't blocked by some big overarching plot structure of a causal loop, which would basically dictate that you can't change it. Yeah. Although, speaking of, like, Takuya being stupid, because, yeah, it is really stupid that he wouldn't be able to get his past self to stop. How stupid is past Takuya for, like, having someone yell behind him, having his own voice yell behind him to run, and not even looking back to see what's going on there? He's just like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna run. Cool.
Oh, no. It's also loosey-goosey.
Timey-wimey. is the
Timey-wimey.
What you're supposed to say in this situation. That's a Doctor Who reference, in case people don't know it.
I don't know.
There's a really great, I should show just that one episode to you, actually, because it's a really great standalone episode. You don't really need to know anything else about Doctor Who, called Blink. I think it's like, well, at least when I watched it, I was like, this is the best episode of television ever.
Shown me.
Oh, I think I showed you part of it, and you're like, I don't care, Jeff.
Yep. That sounds like me.
Oh, God, the Weeping Angels and that are so great. They eventually got used too much. Anyway, I also think this episode was a pretty good way to introduce, I guess we, to avoid spoilers, shouldn't say his name, the second Koji.
The guy who meets his fate.
Meets his stairs.
The stairs.
Oh, wait, sorry. I meant to mention this in the, I forgot to mention it before. Hey, guys. Why does Duskmon have so many eyes?
Oh, God.
I don't.
Because Koichi really likes stairs.
Wow. All right.
Can we leave now?
That has to have been done before, right? Like, there's no way I created that or I invented that. Like,
if you want stair jokes, they are out there. If you go to incorrect Digimon quotes, I think there should be a bunch there.
I'm shaking my head.
We're all disappointed in you, Jeff.
I'm proud of myself.
Our viewers have come back to the past to show their disapproval of you.
To prevent me from making that joke.
They failed, though.
Oh, boy. Okay, I got a couple more things to say about, one, because there's just, like, a couple different things about Shibuya. Like, we also got Koji's flashback.
It's Shibuya.
Shibuya, sorry. In this canon, it's Shibuya. According to the signs. I actually didn't look out for that. Did they keep up that?
It was the same. It's still Shibuya.
Shibuya. To be fair, like, if you're typing in a Japanese keyboard using a QWERTY keyboard, you would write she with, you would just type in S-I. So that's probably where that comes from. Anyway.
I keep wondering why
the hub to the Digirama was Shibuya Station, because, you know, like, what I think of as a stereotypical train nexus in Tokyo would be Shinjuku. Shinjuku is supposed to be the notorious one for, like, being so huge and connecting to so many more lines. And so I keep thinking there must be something purposeful or intentional about it being Shibuya and not Shinjuku. And the only thing I could think of when just trying to think of reasons is, I think Ashley Lindland hasn't played, but in Cyber Sleuth, there's the chapter where there are just, like, random ghosts in Shibuya, and it's kind of just random, and they're like, oh, yes! And, like, I tried to look up, like, if Shibuya is known for having ghosts or anything like that, and it doesn't seem to be a thing, but I'm just thinking maybe there's some inspiration there that was also the inspiration for Cyber Sleuth and the reason that they, for that thing in Cyber Sleuth, and also for this. I don't know. I also tried looking up, because, like, Cyber Sleuth makes a big deal about, like, ley lines and whatever running under Tokyo. And I went into a frustratingly deep dive into ley lines, which apparently are, like, completely garbage and BS, and they're more of, like, a modern thing than a... Like, I always thought it was, like, an ancient Chinese thing, but no, it's, like, a Western thing that... Like, a Western... Like, a British person used to describe, like, commerce routes, and then another British person was like, oh, actually, let me infuse Chinese philosophy into this. It's, like, it's really weird. And it was in Cyber Sleuth. It was in Cyber Sleuth, but I don't, that's not, like, a thing. Like, there doesn't seem to be any consensus that Tokyo has ley lines or anything. But anyway.
Well, they have fault lines.
Oh, they certainly do, unfortunately. Anyone else have any thoughts about the Home Away From episode and how it compares to the other seasons?
It's not as good.
Not as good.
But it's okay.
Side note, but it's totally not fair that Koji gets his message at 5:15 to go to Shibuya, and Takuya gets his at 5:40. Not fair.
You don't know where they are in relation to Shibuya?
Mm. He may have been farther away.
That's true.
Actually, he must have been farther away, because he was already on the train when Takuya got on.
That's true.
Yeah. See? Don't try to make it unfair. It was equal opportunity.
Koji was already out.
Oh, yeah.
He was already out. He was in a flower shop because plot reasons.
Yep.
I mean, we're allowed to say the reasons. Not a spoiler.
Wait, what? Yeah. I think he was just saying because plot dictated he'd be out. Spoiler alert, it was his parents' anniversary.
I don't understand when you're allowed to make the joke that plot did a thing. Because, like, plot is always doing the thing.
I don't think that moment in particular was more contrived than others. I think the joke generally becomes more accepted and laughable when it is the contrivance feels more apparent to the viewer. And it's like, we just set this up just to have this punchline. But this situation, I don't think, like, is like that.
But like, okay, Flamon epically failing to stop Takuya is just plot. Because, like, there's no other reason why he should be able to fail at that.
Either it's plot or Takuya is just completely inept.
Okay.
I mean, but both are valid readings, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That's true. So time for dark reflections.
Dark reflection.
Darkness.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but these episodes are really obsessed with darkness.
See what?
What? Duskmon listened to one too many Evanescence songs. I mean, we've all been there. We know.
Hold on. So
hold on. Hold on.
Someone before said that they liked these episode titles. I think it was Ash. Okay. Episode 20.
Was it me?
From Dawn to Duskmon. Episode 21, Darkest Before Duskmon. Episode 28, Darkness Before the Dawn. These are just like the same three words. It's just
no,
dark.
No, that's fine.
It's just dark, dusk, dawn, just reordered.
It's confusing.
It's great.
It is confusing as
it's
hell.
It's great.
It's awesome.
It's totally great.
Crawling in my skin.
I wish 28 was Darkness Before the Dawn, and then 29 was like Darkness After the Dawn. Dawn After the Darkness. Like, just...
Dusk just never came now.
Darkest after the dark.
After dark, after dusk, dawn, dark, 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 dawn, dawn.
Digimon Precisely. Sun and Moon.
I'm glad you get it. You know, they never really actually talk about dawn in the episodes, but they do.
I mean, I guess Koji.
The time frame.
I guess Koji's supposed to be dawn. Oh, there's no time because it's just darkness.
Episodes?
It's darkness always.
It's just dark, dark.
Every day, every hour is
darkness.
I can't.
Darkness.
Can't.
Darkness.
I can't wait for Mary to go out into space.
Great. Okay. Anyway, these episodes, obsessed with darkness, imagery of mirrors and eyes, and to a lesser degree, shadows. Just for JP, really. I don't know what.
The eyes are pretty, like, at least, like, the mirrors are, you know, associated with Mercurymon, and the shadows are associated with Duskmon, but the eyes seem
what
to be on both of them.
The eyes are associated with Duskmon, too.
Right, it's weird how they're, like, they're in Sakakumon and Duskmon. Like, they don't seem to be connected. They shouldn't be connected like that.
I guess that's true.
What do you mean, in Sakakumon and Duskmon?
Well, not in Duskmon, but, like, Duskmon has eyes, and Sakakumon's door portal thingies are eyeballs.
Right.
It's the balls. Eye into their souls. Anyway. I wanted to discuss darkness as it is presented by the Digimons. I think that it is somewhat notable that darkness is not sadness, because if it was sadness, then Duskmon would not have all these problems. Duskmon would not be like, why does Koji make me feel things when I look at his memories? What's happening?
Because he has a crush.
I don't understand. What?
Honestly, the way, now that I think about it, the way Duskmon's like, why does he make me feel things when I look at him, does seem very much like a crush.
A little bit.
He's looking inside of him.
They see each other's naked bodies when they flash and they're fighting.
Do they?
Do not bring up naked bodies in this season.
Yeah, we're... No more!
They see their little Tramons.
No!
Amazing. Okay. I would say in the scale of dark things, sadness is like purgatory. It's like the thing that will lead you to the darkness.
What about loneliness?
If you let it. No, loneliness is part of the darkness.
Okay.
I think. That's implied, I think. They go on a little rant about, like, darkness is jealousy and, like, the seven deadly sins and blah, 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 blah. And so I guess sadness is just like some weird state where you can choose. But I think this is important because I think it's the crux of what they're trying to say reflections fail at doing, and with mirrors and eyes and whatever. Because
things that make you see.
Things that make you see, but only part of things. And if not part of things, then the problem is that it misses potential. It misses the potential to be something else. I don't know. I feel like that's, like mirrors are only reflecting like a slight part of you, usually, I guess.
And you can't see yourself blink.
You can't see yourself blink? What?
Oh, it is physically impossible to see yourself blink.
Sure. Yeah, that's important. I think it's interesting. Jeff kind of messed it up by pointing out that Sakakuman's eyes, but his eyes don't see anything. So I think that's fine. But like,
no, they see stuff just inside of itself.
I don't know that it ever gives me evidence that it's actually like, I see you.
Well, Kuya. Isn't that what absorbs the attack and reflects it back? Are the eyes?
Yeah, I think that. Eventually.
Seriously, how does Sakakuman work?
Wait, we don't ask questions about this.
Okay, I'm not talking about when they're fighting Sakakuman. Mostly when he's inside them. When they're inside him. Whatever. Pronouns. Reverse them. But like, Duskmon has tons of eyes, but like, can't really see what he wants to see, which is like, why is Koji so sad and make me feel things? And the character that can actually like reflect things back does not have eyes. Talking specifically about Mercurymon.
Oh, he doesn't, does he? Oh, wait, that's weird that in Sakakuman he has tons of eyes and then Mercurymon he doesn't have any eyes.
Right.
Because I guess because there's
points
like
to an imbalance in his spirit.
Yeah, an imbalance.
But I guess also it's just like, yeah, it's clear like the mirrors are his eyes in a character design way.
Because he's seeing others. Yes. I don't know. Shadows are the most interesting one. I feel like they didn't know what to do with it because they were like, JP, fight his shadow. I don't know what else. Shadows.
But so, Ashley, this actually reminds me of something that I wanted. I mean, it was like a side note that I want to bring. Was going to bring up in my friendship topic. But it's just that, like, I feel like it was kind of arbitrary and weirdly coincidental how all of the episodic, I don't even want to call them villains because it's just like the episodic things that each character
they're not even
with.
There for an episode,
right? Yeah, they're just like but they all are weirdly introspective of the characters. They're all just like, I know you better than you know yourself. And it's like, how, what, huh, why are you all on the same page about knowing them? And like the only thing I could think of is that like part of my headcanon, I guess, is that part of Sakakuman's deal is that he can like, you know, see into their souls and then, you know, like convey that information to these other people, the other Digimon.
I think that's the implication. Less with Sakakuman, like blatantly, because like Duskmon is like, Koji, I'm gonna pick you up and go inside your brain.
Oh, like, yeah, I forgot that's like a weird thing that could do. Yeah, that's not a normal thing to be able to just pick someone up and like experience their memories. I just accept that as a natural thing to do.
Totally. Okay. But then like Sakakuman clearly, or like Mercurymon is clearly like, I observe you, then I send back a reflection of you that is somehow on the surface stronger, and I call it dark reflection. Like, so clearly it's supposed to be like, yes, I've seen into your souls and I took all your dark feelings and now I'm gonna possess you and make you feel sad and destroy you that way. But like JP's, I don't even actually remember. Did JP have, was there a Digimon that wasn't just the shadow thing?
Yeah,
that,
like the volcano.
What was
bro.
That Digimon's name?
Volcanomon?
Right, but he defeats that.
Oh, you're saying like, no. Was the shadow like based on another Digimon or something?
Yeah, was the, yeah.
I don't know. That was just like never explained or anything. It was just like a thing that.
Okay, so there's just a shadow that becomes a Digimon. Okay.
It's Yeah, it basically it's is Dark Link. Link.
It's true, it is Dark Link.
Side note, but like Dark Link is as a mid boss in the Ocarina of Time Water Temple, and Sakakuman is very similar when he's doing the eyeball thing. You have to get the eyeball in the middle. Is very similar to the mid boss in Majora's Mask Water Temple. So side note, sorry, keep going.
Okay, so shadows I feel like have the most potential because like you can't actually get rid of your shadow except when it's like noon or whatever. Like you're not gonna have a shadow, but like you
Peter
always
Pan.
Are gonna have like. Oh, yeah, or you're Peter, you're some immortal weird thing that doesn't have a shadow.
Is that a thing that Peter Pan doesn't have a shadow? What?
His shadow escapes.
He's missing his shadow at the beginning of the book.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Wendy has to sew it back on.
What? Yep. That's interesting, because that's... I mean, no, I'm just intrigued, because like, I guess that's the inspiration for... I can't remember his name now, but the One Piece villain who basically has the power... He like, has like a snip-snip fruit, which lets him cut off shadows and then use shadows.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
What is even the point
Astro of
that?
Doesn't seem impressed with that guy.
Moria?
Yeah, Gecko Moria. I really like that arc and him and his power in general. It's pretty neat. The power to snip things would allow you to cut shadows and then put them into other things to make zombies and then puts them into other things to make, it's cool.
Yeah, and that's also, an elaborate power. Anyone who had their shadow cut off, they couldn't go into the sun anymore, so they were trapped.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they had
to,
a lot of them ended up working for him, I think.
That is some crazy power.
In one piece of a pretty crazy game.
I mean, but that also is like, I mean, we kind of spoiled what the powers are, but like, the way that arc is presented is you're just like in this place where people can't go into this, like, it's kind of like a mystery. Like, why, what's going on? Why are there zombies? Are there zombies in this world? Is that a thing in One Piece now? And it turns out it's like, no, there aren't actually zombies. They're just shadows put into people's bodies, other people's bodies. So like, it's all wacky and like pretty intriguing mystery, I thought. Sorry, it wasn't that related to shadows.
Anyway, the point was shadows are interesting because I feel like that is the metaphor that holds up the most in terms of like darkness. Like, you will never get rid of your shadow. If you want to accept that shadow somehow represents something bad, then like, sure, you're never going to get fully rid of the bad thing, but you can always be like, the bad thing does not represent my full potential. I banish you a little bit with light. But like, light and darkness, blah, blah, blah. It's basically Kingdom Hearts.
Everything is basically Kingdom Hearts.
Everything about this is basically Kingdom Hearts matched with Linkin Park.
Everything is Kingdom Hearts because Kingdom Hearts just reflects the true reality of life.
Yes.
I mean, Jeff, heartless.
Don't pretend you don't want to be writing that column.
Okay. No, I wouldn't write that column. I probably.
Jeff, don't pretend that's not what you want. You're like replaying of those games.
No, I know. I think I've mentioned this on like Twitter or something, but like I keep really wanting to replay Kingdom Hearts, but I also keep delaying it because I'm like, I want to cover them in some, like, make like some, I don't know what it is, like a video series, a blog series, something that like talks about the metaphors that it uses and if there's anything more to it than just, you know, metaphorical garbage terms thrown around. I think there is. I think it'd be interesting to analyze, but I keep really wanting to replay them and then not playing them because I'm like, oh, it needs to be a bigger thing once I do it. Oh, sorry.
Anyway, the point is, I think this arc did interesting things with dark imagery. I'm not sure that I necessarily, like, I think a lot of the struggles that they had were, like, other people don't like me. Which is not to say that's not a real struggle. I just don't know if you overcome it by just being like, no, but they do, actually, even though there's, like, evil ones chanting it. Like, it just doesn't feel like you overcome that struggle by, like, being by yourself. It's like, normally for me at least, if I have a negative social experience, I will walk away and be lonely and be sad. But the only way for that then to go away is to have a positive social experience, mm-hmm. not one where I just like sat around and watched all of whatever Grey's Anatomy. Like,
right, and never just goes away just being like, no, you're wrong. I do have friends. Like,
yeah. It's like, yes, I know I have friends. That doesn't mean that they didn't do something bad to you, though.
Well, that's actually a weird... I hope this doesn't overlap too much with my later topic in the episode, but like, I think that in a TV, in a show, in fiction or whatever, what you're saying is the more true to life experience would be like, I don't know, JP, let's use JP as an example, because this episode did kind of deal with that a lot, but like, JP's being struggling with being told that he doesn't have friends or whatever. If his friends come in and save him, and they're just like, cool, we have your back. Like, I think that's the more real to life mm-hmm. experience that would make me be like, okay, I've dispelled all my fears for now. But like, I feel like in the context of the show, that wouldn't actually be that fulfilling because you'd be like, that was just a one-time situation that doesn't actually like address any of his fears. Doesn't actually like dispel those doubts. But instead having the character be like, no, I dispel those doubts on my own feels like the more fulfilling thing from a narrative standpoint, but definitely isn't true to life.
Right. I feel like I should have acknowledged Zoe's episode being Snow White and Mirrors, but I just don't feel like it. I hate that episode. That episode's garbage. Snow White. Goodbye.
I suspect they were just like, okay, we only have a couple more episodes with Mercurymon. We need to get in this like mirror, mirror on the wall thing, this concept.
We have two girls, so they got to do it.
Yeah.
And just like, because I really wanted to possibly do an in-depth analysis of Snow, like the original Snow White versus this episode. But I realized that I don't actually know Snow White well enough, probably because it's garbage and I didn't feel like watching it over and over as a child to like do that. And I was like, I just don't care.
You're talking about the Disney one, right?
Right. Which I know isn't real because...
Is Snow White the one that in the original fairy tale ends with like someone's eyes being poked out? No, that's Cinderella.
No,
right?
That's Cinderella. The one you're thinking of, the queen dancing to her death.
Oh, that wasn't what I was thinking of. I didn't know that.
No, I think he was just confused.
Yeah, I was just thinking Cinderella. Like, aren't there pigeons that poke out their eyeballs in Cinderella or something? No?
That was the stepsisters.
Right, okay.
So they're blinded.
I don't know how these fairy tales get to those places, but yeah, sure.
That's because fairy tales are very strange and are allegorical growing up stories that really don't hold up today.
Okay, and now we have a Patreon topic from Patrimon Marcus, from Ultra Level. Yeah, that's not a...
Ultra!
From Ultimate Level Patrimon Marcus. And the question is, which characters would you like to see be the leaders in Frontier? And would it match or surpass Takuya and Koji's chemistry? So we mentioned before...
Their sexual chemistry?
That's definitely the question we're asking. And the answer is no.
No. There's no potential for that.
there's no... That is the most...
That's the most sexy leadership.
Definitely the most aesthetically pleasing one.
But also, like, boring boys.
Anything involving Tommy is icky. Anything involving JP is, like, JP's clearly not made to be the best-looking dude.
I ship JP and Koji.
Really?
No. God, no.
I'm really confused. Like, why?
I mean, but, you know, maybe in this alternate universe I would. I would just like to see it go down.
Anyways, this topic was probably inspired by the jokey scenes, the beginning of, which episode was it? 24, I want to say?
It was before when they were.
Yeah, right before they're sucked into Sakumon. Right before they Sakakud into Sakak. Anyway, sorry.
I agree.
Erase from history. And JP is jokingly like acting like a leader, and then it's really just fodder so that he has something to be angsty about later in the episode, right? When like, oh, everyone's joking about me, blah blah blah. But it raised the idea of like if JP was a leader instead, or if Tommy was a leader. I don't know. I mean, the question asked about like the Takuya and Koji chemistry dynamic, but like I would like to see Koji as a leader. I mean, that wouldn't change the Takuya and Koji rivalry, but like Koji taking the reins instead of Takuya, I think would be interesting.
I just feel like they're both kind of boring boys, like blah blah blah.
Boring boys.
Takuya's all, I'm a bro and I'm gonna keep broing. Oh, maybe I shouldn't bro so hard. And so Koji's like, I'm a lone wolf. I'm sad. Like, shut up.
I also think Koji serves better in a secondary role rather than a leadership role. He's there and he's good at what he does, and what he does is question leadership. And that's an important...
True.
That's an important thing.
I agree.
You kind of need your leaders to be hotheads, but then you also need them to have followers who are like, chill out.
Ashley, let's not talk about how leaders need to be hotheads right now in a current environment. Because, you know, that's really not necessary.
Leaders end up being hotheads.
There are lots of great leaders who are not hotheads. There were lots of leaders who did not find it necessary to tweet that all major news networks are fake news because they criticize
him. All of them are fake news.
Oh my God.
We're all fake news.
This is fake news. This is a fake podcast.
We're a fake Digimon podcast. Yeah.
This is a fake Digimon podcast.
What's Digimon?
We're a fake Pokemon podcast, actually.
Yeah, we're a fake Pokemon podcast. Exactly.
But no, I think even if Koji works better in that subservient role, I think it maybe like I don't maybe I don't not subservient, but you know like the second in command. Yeah. And
subservient is very different.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I mean, he's subservient in bed, if you know what I mean.
I don't think that's true.
Yes.
I think it wouldn't have been the best dynamic to, you know, go with for an entire season or whatever, but I think it would have been neat to see him having to take up the reins of leadership for like a brief period of time or something.
He did it briefly in a battle, but like I don't think he wants it, and I think you do need to want leadership in some point to be an effective leader.
Yes.
I know there's that trope that like, oh, a real hero or a real leader would never want to. They just step up because they need to. But like, there's still an element of wanting that done right that needs to be there.
Right.
There is something that could potentially be a cool tale that like, if Takuya's going home was more than 5 seconds or whatever, and like one of them had to be the leader.
Right. Then
seeing how they are not good leaders in comparison to Takuya or something could be interesting.
Right. And like comparing it to when Tai leaves the group, similar situation in Adventure. And it's like the little glimpse we get of that dynamic after he's left is that like there was no leader. They all just kind of like I want to leave. Okay, I want to leave too. Yeah, they all just kind of fell apart because there was no leader. But like it wasn't like Ty. It wasn't like Matt stepped in to be the leader in that situation. But like,
yeah,
I think that would have been a cool route if they wanted to like try an alternative approach for this season too. Instead, be like, okay, Takuya's gone now. Koji has to try and be the leader. And you know, like it's like, well, this is a serious responsibility, so I'm going to take it seriously. I'm going to try and do it as best I can. But I'm clearly not suited for this. It's clearly not the best. And clearly better, the group is better served with me in a different role. But I'm still going to do it until we get Takuya back or something. That would have been cool. And the more I think about it, the more it feels familiar to me. Like maybe this is a trope that is in lots of other media and I just can't think of them off the top of my head. But this idea of this like second in command who, yeah, it takes over and is like, I begrudgingly do this. Okay, keep the ship safe until leader comes back.
Secretly, I want Zoe to be a leader.
I think she'd be a great leader.
I think Zoe is the worst character in Digimon so far, so let's not. And not because, you know, I can't even.
Ashley, I'm pretty sure you don't remember the end of the series. I'm pretty sure she does become the leader in the next arc, and then you know, like just changes your impression completely. Just like, we'll go from being the worst character to the best character.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah, it's fake news, but
every time Rika does a recap of a Zoe episode, I'm like, Rika, I know you hate Zoe. Don't lie to me. Stop it. She's just so unimportant. So like, yeah, make her the leader. Make her the leader of a band of boys. It'd be perfectly not rife with any gender conundrums.
Yeah, but at least would have given her, like, even if she is like, okay, well, she can't win the battles because whatever BS, like, well, I feel like Zoe is clearly, the seams are starting to show where they're like, okay, we need a girl present, but we don't want to focus our energy, like, clearly the boys are the more marketable audience for our toys, so we need to flesh them out more, and we only have 5 characters, so, like, only one could be a girl. And it's just, yeah.
She has no character at all. It's so annoying.
I guess maybe it's because she is the only girl. Like, the writing kind of seems like it falls into this default state where it's like, and she has the girl reaction because she is the girl. And at least if there are multiple girls, that really frustrating default thing that writers could fall into doesn't happen.
I guess.
It's like we're beating a dead horse at this point.
That's true. Yeah, and so who do we want to be the leader? Koji or Zoe?
Tommy.
I knew you were going to say that.
No, it'd be terrible. We don't put the 8-year-old in charge. We just don't do that.
You were going to say it anyway because you're you.
It's true. But also, I work with second graders and I would never put any of them in charge of anything.
Oh. They're hurt to hear you say that.
Well, they're not going to because they don't.
They don't listen to podcasts?
They don't know what Digimon is?
One of them likes Pokemon. That's about the extent. They're 20 years younger than us, Ashley.
Welcome to Coastal Clash, our Family Feud-esque segment that should be legally distinct from Family Feud, but probably isn't. And in this segment, we poll our listeners for about 10 different questions and then present the questions to one team from the East Coast and one team from the West Coast, so you get the highest score. And then we keep a running tally, which we don't have right now, but by the end of the season, we'll know who won, which coast won. Ashley is perpetually trying to sabotage the West Coast because she secretly doesn't like the West Coast. Not so secretly.
It's not a secret.
It's not a secret.
Not a secret at all.
So this week, the first 5 questions, the answers are the season 1 through 4. I call them the angsties. So that includes the Digimon Emperor, Blackware Greymon, Beelzemon, and Duskmon. And then the next five questions are just the Frontier kids. That's pretty basically Takuya, Zoe, Koji, Tommy, and JP. So we're going to start off by doing, this week we're going to do the West Coast first. So Asher needs to remove himself.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Ashley, are you ready?
I guess so. I'm hungry, but sure.
I'll start the music and timer.
The first is the emo people.
Yes, emo people first. So that's, okay. Just to remind you again, Digimon Emperor, Black War Greymon, Beelzemon, and Duskmon. So timing will start once I finish reading the first question. Who is the most excited for Try Chapter 4?
Ken.
Who would buy the most Girl Scout cookies?
Black War Greymon.
Who would spend thousands of dollars in Fire Emblem Heroes in the first week?
I don't know enough about Beelzemon. I don't know.
Who is the least anti-Semitic, least racist person? Or Digimon?
Beelzemon?
Who would complain that PC culture has run amok because they get criticized for making terrible jokes?
Beelzemon.
Okay, now back to the kids. Who is the most excited for Try Chapter 4?
Oh, man. Zoe.
Who is the most upset that Beyonce lost Album of the Year to Adele? 10 seconds.
Zoe.
Who has never listened to a Beyonce song?
JP.
Who is most excited for a golf manga from the author of Kuroko's Basketball?
Tommy.
Okay, so that was the last one that will count. So this one, last one, is a bonus question. Who would tweet criticisms of the current Digimon leader, which they are even more guilty of once they become Digimon leader?
JP.
Wow. Wow. I just realized that, like, answering any of those is really damning to the character. Okay. Now we have a special bonus round, which I figured we have to do this before Ash comes in. We'll just keep doing it. Special bonus round. Now you can open the third answer set in the Google Doc.
Okay.
So you see what the answer set is?
Yep.
Okay, so this bonus round.
This is making me even more hungry.
The bonus round is a series of questions where all of the answers are Girl Scout cookies. Okay, so this one is going to be timed.
How many questions are there?
One for each character. Okay, Ashley, which is Takuya's favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Thin Mints.
Zoe's favorite?
Oh, Jesus. Damn it. S'mores?
Did you answer?
I said the s'mores.
Oh, s'mores, okay. JP's favorite?
JP. Tagalongs.
Tommy's favorite?
I mean, everybody's favorite should be Thin Mints. Thin Mints.
Koji's favorite?
You know what? He likes Samoas because he's a more refined person.
Okay. Ken, Digimon Emperor's favorite.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. We're doing the evil people, too. Ken's favorite. Okay. I don't even know what some of these are.
it should be Digimon Emperor. I mean, it's really in his Digimon Emperor persona.
Are you saying there's an obvious answer?
No, I'm just saying that, like, keep that in mind. Okay. Keep that, like, his character. He might have different tastes when he's Ken.
Toffee-tastic. He seems like a person who needs coffee. I don't know.
Black War Greymon. I need
to find these s'mores.
Who did you say, Jeffrey?
Black War Greymon.
Black War Greymon.
Wait, what's Ken's?
Toffee-tastic.
Toffee-tastic. Black War Greymon. Thin Mints.
Beelzemon.
I think I'm going to say Doosie Doo, Doosie Doos, just because I think Beelzemon wants to say that frequently.
Duskmon.
Dusk. Thin Mints. Thin Mints always the reliable answer.
I feel like Ash would be mad at me for this.
Probably.
You're probably mad at me for it.
Can I leave while he is answering those so that I can eat something? I need to eat something.
Sure.
I'm really hungry.
Okay.
I'll wait for him to come back. I feel like the answer should have just always been Thin Mints, because I feel like people only really know, Thin Mints, Samoas,
Actually, stop talking.
Stop talking.
No, stop saying
Thin Mints cereal.
Stop spoiling things.
Ashley, that was back so it. Mad.
No, but I'm surprised. Like, the results are more diversified than you would think. Than I
really?
Thought too. Yeah, I don't. That myth that there is a one clear winner is apparently just a myth.
Oh, is Ash back now?
Ash?
Yo.
Okay, so Ashley is going to go eat something while you go.
I'm so snacky. Bye.
Okay, so the first five questions are, the answers are the season 1 4 angsties, and then I'll remind you when we switch to the Frontier Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who is the most excited for Try Chapter 4?
Ken?
Who would buy the most Girl Scout cookies?
Bea Azelman.
Who would spend thousands of dollars in Fire Emblem Heroes in the first week?
Duskmon.
Who is the least anti-Semitic, least racist person?
What?
Trump described himself that way.
Black or Greymon, I don't know.
Who would complain that PC culture has run amok because they get criticized for making terrible jokes? 30
Ken.
Seconds. Okay, now back to the Zero Two or Frontier Kids. Who is the most excited for Try Chapter 4?
Takuya.
Who is the most upset that Beyonce lost the album of the year to Adele?
Zoe.
Who has never listened to a Beyonce song?
JP.
Who is most excited for a golf manga from the creator of Kuroko's Basketball?
Nobody. Zoe, I don't...
Who would tweet criticisms of the current Digimon leader, which they are even more guilty of once they become Digimon leader?
What? No, repeat that.
Who would tweet criticisms of the current Digimon leader, which they are even more guilty of once they become Digimon leader?
Koji.
Oh, wow. Oh, that was mean.
He okay. would.
So now, hopefully Ashley will come back mid. So we can't signal to her at all. She just went off. I want her to hear your reactions to... There's a bonus round.
Oh.
Well, whatever. Let's start the bonus round and then...
Bonus round.
Hope she comes back. Okay, Ash, click the answer 3 set in the doc.
You want me to?
Yeah. Again, the bonus round, the answers are Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, yes!
Have you bought any?
Yeah. I bought 2 boxes like a month ago.
You can order them online now.
In 2 days. What?
Wait, yeah, really?
And delivered, yeah.
What? Well, usually they're right across the street, though, so I should be able to get some more.
And you do it through a every Girl Scout gets a website, or like gets a like a username or whatever, so you can do it through their thing and add
through
to their...
Through a scout. Cool.
Okay. Which is Takuya's favorite cookie?
I have endless time for this, right?
Yes.
Do-si-dos.
Zoe's favorite?
Thin Mints.
JP's favorite?
Tagalongs. No, Samoa. All of them.
It's mean.
I bet it's true, though.
Need to pick one answer.
I have to pick.
Yeah.
The s'mores, then.
Wow. Okay.
What are the Savannah Smiles?
Oh, I recently had them. They're really good. They're like lemon.
Oh, okay.
Lemon death.
They're way too addictive.
Lemon death.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Tommy's favorite.
The trefoils.
Koji's.
Koji doesn't like food. Probably Thin Mints.
Digimon Emperor's favorite cookie.
Digimon Emperor's favorite? Toffee-tastic.
Black or Greymon?
Trefoils, because they look like flowers.
Oh!
I don't know what those are, though.
They're shortbread.
Yeah, they're pretty generic, I think.
The trefoil. I'm not pronouncing that right.
How do you pronounce it?
You're missing some of the ones that they sell.
This is apparently the 2017 lineup.
But I totally got, they call them
Thanks.
I totally got, they call them Thanks-a-Lots, and they're not
what?
On here.
What?
They're
Thanks
great.
Thanks-a-Lots?
Did you get they're, off-brand?
No! They were Girl Scouts!
Were they? Were they, Ash?
They're shortbread. Yes, they're shortbread backed with chocolate. They're what? Amazing.
They're called some... Ash, there's like different names across the country.
Okay, but I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing shortbread backed with chocolate on any of these options.
Yeah, these don't exist. They may not exist like across the country. Maybe
they also don't call them tagalongs anymore.
Yes, they do.
Which is a shame. Not out here, they don't.
What? What is with these regional differences?
Patties.
Peanut butter patties.
Peanut butter
no.
patties.
No. No.
I know. Tagalongs is a much cuter name, and Samoas are like coconut. Delights or something?
What?
Stupid. Thin Mints are still Thin Mints.
Yeah, this is... And you have peanut butter sandwiches? Wait, is this
the
old?
The Do-si-dos? No. I mean, I don't know what those are called now. Because I have a peanut butter craving, I get a tag-along.
Exactly.
Also, change my answer for JP back to tag-along, which was my original answer for him.
Basically, the reason why there's two different... I mean, like, variations is because there's two different companies.
What?
Yeah, didn't you know this?
I don't want to live on this coast anymore. Get out of
but
here.
Actually, they're only called Samoas over here. They're called, what did you say, Coconut Surprise?
No, apparently they're called Caramel Delights, according to the whatever
what?
Andrew just linked. I don't get those ones, so.
Okay, Beelzebub's favorite cookie.
Sorry, I went off the page. Beelzebub. Samoas.
Duskmon.
Thin Mints, because they're dark like his soul.
So no one takes...
I mean, the correct answer to all of this is everybody likes Thin Mints.
That's what I said!
but who's their favorite? Right? They have different favorites, even they all like
all
Thin
right,
Mints.
All right.
Wait, these Savannah Smile things and lemonades are apparently just like severely different cookies, according to this chart.
Yeah, weird. No, they are.
Holy crap. Everything else is like, all right, there's differences there, but like, all right, that's essentially the same cookie.
Wait, what are Do-Si-Dos?
Do-Si-Dos are the peanut butter sandwich cookies.
Oh.
Well, this kind of explains why s'mores appears twice on the site, and I'm like, why are they right next to each other? It says Girl Scout S'mores, TM, trademark.
Whatever, also, this distribution map is so garbage. Why? What?
Okay, let's go back to the results of the normal, not...
I'm done? All right.
Yeah, that was all nine characters. You listed all nine, Ash.
Whatever.
Basically, Ash devoured Ashley.
Yeah, okay, anyway, okay.
Again.
So...
I did?
Tribe Chapter 4. Who is most excited for Tribe Chapter 4 of the Angsties? You both answered Digimon Emperor, and yeah, that is...
I mean, it's the obvious answer.
I mean, he's the only one that's in them, yeah. So...
Who even is in it?
He probably watches and is like, come on, is that me? What's going on? I didn't film this. Who is that guy?
All right.
Who would buy the most Girl Scout cookies? Ashley said Black or Greymon, which was 37, and Asher said Beelzemon, which is 48.
Aha!
That's a surprising result to me.
Was there anyone higher?
No, those are the first. Those are the top two.
Oh.
I would think Digimon Emperor. I mean, he's the one who has, like, probably has cash from his startup. Probably has a startup.
No, but Black War Greymon and Beelzemon have, like, Sundere hearts.
Yeah, they like kids. Black War Greymon and Beelzemon, they both like kids. And I'm never going to pronounce his name right. And the Dark Emperor just hates love and happiness.
The old Beelzemon. Okay, right. The next one was, who would spend thousands of dollars in Fire Emblem Heroes in the first week? And
I feel like this answer was skewed towards Asher, because he's like, he played it.
Yeah, but I also had no idea.
It's okay, you both didn't get the top answer. So, Ashley said Beelzemon.
Digimon Emperor?
So hard.
Yeah, so Ash said Duskmon, which is 26, and Digimon Emperor was 51. Digimon Emperor was first place.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's a gamer. He played Donkey Madness, right?
He's also really good at games like Fire Emblem because he plays chess.
He plays Digimon.
No, he plays chess, like several games of chess while people
He plays
watch.
Let's Conquer the Digital World, which is literally the same as Fire Emblem.
But actually, I feel like he wouldn't spend lots of money on Fire Emblem because he would just be like, I'm just naturally amazing at this. Oh, actually, no. He would just have tons of money to throw.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. You need to spend money on Fire Emblem to get stuff, which is why I stopped playing.
That's wrong. You can just keep playing.
No.
Okay, who is the least anti-Semitic, least racist person? Which this was an explicit reference. I kind of apologize. Like, it was a line that Trump, in a press conference, described himself as, and then went on to ask a black reporter if they like knew a black congresswoman or something, because the implication was just like all black people know each other. After just saying that he was and also was in the middle of like a Jewish reporter being like, Trump, I'm not criticizing you. Like you have been fine. You have been great. But how do you respond to the allegation, or how do you respond to the fact that people are saying there are many more hate crimes and threats against Jewish lives in your presidency? And he was just like, I take extreme offense to that. You are extremely wrong. And
no, I thought his response was like, he didn't like condone it, but it was just like, eh.
No, he took it as a personal attack on him.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be like as personal as I made it, but he definitely was like, I'm extremely offended. It was unclear if he was saying he's offended by the question or by the thing that the fact that people are associated with his presidency. But he definitely, I don't know, the headlines I saw were like, Trump bullies Jewish reporter when asked about anti-Semitism. Anyway, so off that tangent, Ashley chose Beelzemon for 19 points and Asher chose Black War Greymon for 52, which was the top two. Actually, there were the top two, but Beelzemon and Duskmon tied for second place. And who would complain that PC culture has run amok because they get criticized for making terrible jokes? Ashley said Beelzemon, which was first place, and with 59. And Asher said Digimon Emperor, which was second place with 26. None of them are really comedians, especially like offensive comedians.
No, I actually thought Beelzemon is the one who's always cracking jokes.
That's true.
And would be the most likely to like say something offensive and then be called out on it and be like, what?
In retrospect, that sounds like the right answer.
And among the Frontier kids, who was the most excited for Tri-Chapter 4? First place, Ashley said Zoe, 26. Asher said Takuya for 26. Are you tied? Oh, that's sweet. And first place was JP, apparently. Okay. Huh.
Because he's a geek boy?
Okay, who was the most upset that Beyonce lost album of the year to Adele? You both answered Zoe, which was 59%. Yeah, because only girls can care about the Grammys, apparently.
Please, in Digimon, yes.
It's true.
Also, only, like, more girls do care about female artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially female artists that, you know, take stands against misogyny.
Apparently, even Adele was like, why did I...
Yeah, Adele said that Beyonce deserved it.
Adele's like, I'm so sad that I won this award. Beyonce got so robbed. Oh my God.
And the question of who has never listened to a Beyonce song, you both answered JP, which is only 15%. The number one was Koji.
Oh, I guess that makes sense, actually.
Although Tommy was number two.
Yeah. Who is most excited for a golf manga from the author of Kuroko's Basketball? This is kind of a shameless plug on my part for Shonen Jump, but...
Very shameless.
But Ash initially replied, no one, because he's wrong. How are you not intrigued by that, Ash?
What?
You're not intrigued for a golf manga from the author of Kuroko's Basketball?
Golf is so boring.
But Kuroko's golf?
Kuroko's golf, though.
Oh, I mean, I would have said the same thing about basketball.
I mean, yeah, I don't like basketball that much either, but at least it looks exciting.
Jeff, isn't the main character of the golf manga like a stoic, boring person, honestly? Isn't that like the premise? Like,
of,
he has
of the
no
golf
personality?
Manga?
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet.
No, but I've seen like a description of it, and it's like...
Maybe. But, I mean, isn't that kind of Kuroko?
Kuroko is not boring.
He has people to play off.
I mean, I'm pretty sure golf is a team thing, too.
It is, but not in the same way that basketball is.
We'll see about
I'm going to read it.
I'm going to read it.
I'm going to read it so hard.
I'll wait until the awesome, like, super expensive anime comes out.
Well, yeah, yeah. Who would tweet criticisms of the current Digimon leader, which they are even more guilty of once they become Digimon leader? I have no idea what this is an allusion to. No idea. But Ashley chose JP, which was out of time, so she didn't get that point, which was 26 points. And Asher chose Koji, which was 30. And the first place was Takuya. I feel like all those are mean because basically saying, like, this character is
Takuya
Trump.
Is
Wait, you have to choose someone.
Yeah, I know.
The way you set it up, you were going to be mean to someone.
I didn't think about the implication when I made that. Choose one is Trump. And then looking at the score, so the total from that, doing some quick math. So Ashley's total was 326 and Asher's total was 378. Yep.
What about the Girl Scout one?
The bonus round. Ashley totaled 79 and Asher totaled 113.
Woo!
Trying to look at some out. I don't want to run through all 18 answers, but...
It's because I was a Girl Scout.
Oh. I thought you'd like see the thing and be like, oh my God, I don't want to answer questions about Girl Scout cookies, but you were like, yes, Girl Scout cookies!
Because they're the best! They are happiness in a box. Costs $4.
I still miss the cinnamon sugar ones from like 2 decades ago.
I don't actually even remember what you're talking about, but oh God, I was a Girl Scout 2 decades ago.
How far we've come.
Do the Girl Scouts allow trans girls?
Yes, they do.
Oh, really?
Yes, they
and
do.
The Boy Scouts. Oh.
The Boy Scouts disallow gay boys. Did they change their mind about that?
They recently changed their mind.
Well, it's still not a great environment.
And they probably don't allow trans boys, right?
No, they do.
I don't. They do.
Really?
Yeah, they recently changed their stance on it.
I don't trust them.
Yeah, that makes sense. A bunch of the answers were... So I'm just going to look through the graphs, and then if there are things, we'll look at your results. Most, generally, they are very even, which I thought the answers would, like, everyone would vote Thin Mints for all of them. But, Takuya's is very even, with the number one answer being, I can't number one answer these, because they're all colors that I can't read. Zoe's is the only one that's, like, 41% Thin Mint. And
really? That's because Zoe has taste.
Oh, it's true. JP was, 33% tagalong, which was a big slice of the pie. I guess.
Slice of cookie.
I was thinking that, like, Ashley chose JP for that because she was, like, JP's Jeff and Jeff likes tagalongs.
No.
No, really? Oh, okay.
It was more like JP likes chocolate.
Yeah.
But also I would assume that he likes peanut butter.
They are the most chocolatey, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beelzemon is a pretty wide... spread of everything. Black or Greymon, people either voted Thin Mint or...
Why don't you let someone who can see colors see these graphs?
Oh, wait, no, I can see. Okay, sorry. I can't, if there was a toggle that I didn't hit. Okay, so Thin Mint was first place. No, first place was Trefoils for Black or Greymon. What?
Huh.
What?
I was right. You were right.
Wait, what? Which one are Trefoils again? The shortbread?
The shortbread. But they're the ones that are shaped like flowers.
Oh. So
if you use your imagination... If you use your imagination, they look like flowers.
Oh boy.
Really, they're in the shape of the Girl Scout logo.
That is not a flower at all, you all.
Also, he's like a baby who doesn't know anything, so of course he's going to go for the vanilla answer.
Who scored? I'm looking at which individual answer scored the most. It looks like Asher's answer of Zoe choosing Thin Mints got 42, and in that same answer, Ashley put s'mores for Zoe and got 4, so. And Ashley's highest one was Duskmon with Thin Mints, which Asher also put the mints because they're dark like his soul, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so friendship struggles. This arc had a renewed focus on character development with flashbacks, even for, I wrote in my notes as ZGT. Zoe, JP, and Tommy. Who, even in this arc, start down the road to obsoleteness with not getting fusion spirits, but at least they get character development. It's kind of like in, I don't know how far this trope spreads, but at least the thing that comes to mind is Lost, where if a character usually didn't have episodes themselves, but they just suddenly got an episode themselves with lots of backstory, it was often a sign they're about to be killed off in that same episode, which is kind of how they are treated here. They get character development and then it pushed to the side. But anyway... There was, I thought, an interesting theme to all these different backstories and flashbacks we got, which was friendship.
Is magic.
Friendship.
At first, I thought it was weird how they all revolve around it, because it doesn't seem addressed by the narrative. Like, it doesn't seem like the show ever really points out that, like, oh yeah, you are all having a similar, like, there's a theme to all of your struggles, and ever, like, ties a bow on that. It just happens to be that there is this theme, and it kind of leaves it uncommented, which is cool for our analysis, but I feel like maybe is a place the show should have gone to, you know, tie into some kind of bow. For example, like, even Koji's insecurity isn't really about friendship, like, in this episode, but he's like
But it has to do with relationships of others.
Right, and even, like, the Digimon that's provoking him or whatever, it words everything in terms of friendship, so it's still, like, friendship is still relevant to all these things. In thinking about, like, is it weird they all focus on friendship? And I think it's something I haven't mentioned since Adventure, when I was complaining about how it seems weird that Matt's crest is friendship, because friendship is kind of like the universal shonen/kids anime, like, concept. Like, it is the good guys always win because they have friendship. And it seems weird for that to just be, like, one of many attributes and not even the strongest or whatever. So I feel like this is taking the alternative approach to that, where it is saying, like, if friendship is the most important thing, they all struggle with it in different ways, except for Takuya. And I thought it was nice. There's one exception, but for the most part, in all these different backstories and character episodes, that friendship is represented as much more complex than just good guys have it, bad guys don't. And that's nice, because that's usually how it's handled in shonen and kids anime, which is just like, oh, guy is tested, and he's like, I'm strong because I have my friends. You will never have friends, therefore you are bad. I thought it was more complex in these episodes, which is cool. And also, though, like, when it is represented as that binary, like, good guys have friends, bad guys don't, I really hate what message that sends to kids and reinforces this idea that if you are someone who struggles to make friends, which many nerds do, many, like, people who grow up liking this kind of nerdy, geeky stuff probably have trouble making friends. And to spread the message that if you don't have friends, you are more like the evil people is an uncomfortable message. Yeah, I'm super evil. But anyway, like, like, having friends, getting friends is much more complex than just if you value friendship, you will get friends. If you don't value friendship, you will not get friends and you will be evil. Tons of people value friendship a lot and wish they could make friends and struggle with it. And this arc showed people struggling with that. Maybe not a ton. They weren't struggling a ton, but it showed some of their struggles with having friends and valuing friendship. So just stepping through each character quickly. But JP's backstory and
is that
episode,
he wants to be friends of other people.
Right. He basically, he got lots in his flashback. He got lots of attention with magic tricks and thought, like, made him the center of attention. And he thought that was, you know, it's doing well. He was really popular. And then as soon as the situation changes and it starts raining and people are sharing umbrellas, he can't find anyone to share an umbrella with, to walk home with. And this resonated a lot with me. This was basically me in high school. Not with magic tricks, because I didn't do magic tricks, but I did do perverted jokes a lot.
Jeff. Old Jeff.
I think it was a really easy way to get attention and to get laughs. And like, I had a ton of acquaintances.
You did. You had a lot of acquaintances.
And like, no one that I could spend time with outside of school. And I'd be like really depressed that like none of that translated into real friendships. And yeah, and I'd basically like...
And then Jeff learned to be less of a pervert, and then people liked it more.
Really? It's not quite like that, but... It's not quite the perverted things I was saying to get attention were never, like, I'm like a really prude person in reality, but I just like learned to say things that got lots of attention and got people laughing the most, Anyway, JP's worried that his friends are, like, secretly, they pretend like they're his friends, but secretly they really don't like him. That's a really real fear that resonated with me and is totally something that I've felt at lots of various points in my life.
I actually I know it's not shown, but I thought the bribery of his friends was somewhat important. Like, he's like, I'll give you a free magic card,
yeah,
monster card.
Yeah, like,
thing.
Or he says it really stupidly. Monster cards. He's like, who wants to take him a monster card? And it's like, no, don't talk like you're actually doing a stage show. Like, no, stop that. But yeah, it does show, like, it's really sad how he like thinks bribery will help him. Which, like, this makes me even more frustrated about his episode with the Togemon daycare thingy because clearly he knows
that
bribing people didn't work. And yet he's like, Tsunamon, don't you want to, like, I can make you a center of attention. But it's like, clearly he knows that being a center of attention didn't actually translate to much, and especially with it. And so moving on to Tommy, he has flashbacks to his brother, who he thought was mostly chiding him for being spoiled, and was like, no, your brother's near me. I thought the gist of this was that Ashuramon basically pretends to save Tommy, pretends to be his friend, which I thought was a natural, you know, thing that makes sense. You have the kid Digimon have someone who tries to use their innocence to their advantage. And I think what they're going for here is that the way Asuramon pretends to be his friend and talks about friendship made Tommy realize that that was how his brother was referring to him, as someone who only cared about getting things for himself and didn't care about his friend's feelings or other people's feelings, that that's what Asuramon was being. And he was like, that's not a real friend. This is, I think, actually where the one place where it really, this discussion of friendship really stumbled, because where did I write down? Tommy's speech as he's taking down Asuramon is like, basically at one point, like, I have real friends and you never will, therefore you're evil. And that's like, Also, side note, hearing Tommy's brother as Ty was really weird.
Yes. I liked it.
No,
it was just weird because it was like, oh, they got him back just for this. Okay, it's a random thing.
Well, he didn't retire yet.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, like, to get someone in who was a big, you know, like a big role in previous seasons and to have such a minor role in this one. Koji. I initially didn't think there was much to Koji's stuff in this episode. I mean, there's two different things. There's Karatenmon, you know, like doing whatever to him, mocking him about stuff. And then there's his flashbacks with Duskmon. And the stuff that it's a karate with an N in the end, right? Like
Karaten, yes. as in
sword. Like, oh, is it? I thought it was like heaven, like ten, like the
oh, ten as Nintendo. In Tengu.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He basically like says that Koji doesn't have friends because he's afraid of losing people. And the thing that I liked about this was how it... Well, here's a dialogue. So Karatenmon says, even when you have friends, you won't allow yourself to be happy. Always in your mind, you prepare for the time they will leave. That is your greatest weakness. And then Koji says, weak, I call it realistic. Everybody leaves. That's a fact of life. I just want to be prepared for it. I don't need friends or family. And then Karatenmon, like, the fact that he said family was like, oh, I see now. There was like a... It's about your mother. And that was neat because I think that's the first sign we really get about anything about Koji's mom. And then later we get the, it's a bit more explicit, right? Do they actually spell it out that his mom died?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I can't remember what's been spelled out and what hasn't been.
They're not like, his mom is dead, but like, it's very clear.
They're like, I know it's been hard since your mother died. Years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess it was more than 3 years ago, probably.
Yeah, you would hope.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't think really, like, in the episode with Karatenmon, it's really about, like, Koji struggling with friendship. but it's just like kind of connecting the dots that his standoffish approach and his philosophy that he doesn't need people has come from the fact that he has lost someone, and that has taught him that it's, you know, like, you're better served by not forming dependencies on people. That was pretty neat. And
neat, yeah, I mean, super, like, neat.
Have I said neat a lot?
No, I just feel like it's inappropriate to say neat in that.
Neat. It's so neat. It's so cool. It's so, so rad, bro. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Yeah. Also, did anyone notice in Koji's flashback? He has, oh, I guess I commented in Slack. So he, cool. Anyway, Koji's flashback, he has a guitar. He's a teenage wolf. Yeah. He's a literal teenage wolf.
I did notice.
Anyway, I mean, so as neat as I thought that stuff was about revealing, connecting dots about Koji's character traits with his mother, it was, but all of this stuff is like pretty garbage about how it's like, oh yeah, and randomly all these episodic villain Digimon super care about diving into the kids' souls. And it's like, why are they all doing this? They can headcanon that it's because Sakumon, you know, looking into their souls and then sending them after them in that way, whatever, trying to break them down. But it's also just kind of like weird when you think about it.
Well, also, they're not real Digimon.
They have fractal codes.
They have fractal codes, but they don't have digi eggs.
Oh.
They're just like leftover data of a Digimon that Sakumon brought back to life.
Yeah, I forget what we saw, but someone, I think, commented to something we did that, like, mentioned something about how do the kids know what digi eggs look like? And it might be something people miss, is that, like, whenever they take fractal code from Digimon, a digi egg appears and then flies off to Primary Village.
So also, is this the question, like, about Seraphimon's egg? Because that egg has been there for...
No. Oh, this comment that I'm thinking of was about that egg when they first get it. They're like, how do they know what to do with this? How have they seen a digi egg before? Or something like that. I mean, his digi egg did totally act like, for some reason, it floated around instead of flying off to wherever, which is random. But yeah, anyway, like, especially this, as quote-unquote neat as it is to dive into Koji's character this way, having just a random episodic Digimon just like, I'm going to present to you everything about your character. It's like super telling instead of showing, and having it be told by this like random non-character who is then swiftly eliminated is weird. I also found it weirdly callous for Koji to take his fractal code. I never felt that way for any other Digimon they take down, but it's like they were having like a conversation and then he's just like, you're gone, you're dead. Like everyone else has been like, we're having a conversation, I'm trying to kill you, like I'm super evil, and he was just like, I have seen into your soul, you have some issues. And he's like, nope, you're dead. Zoe's lonely because she's isolated like everyone else is, but that flashes back to her time on a field trip. I don't know what you call it, not quite a field trip. There's a term for it in Japanese, like a thing where they go on a camping trip together.
Outing.
Yeah, and there was an episode of Tamers where they did it. Anyway, and then Honeybee Mom betraying her reminds her of a flashback of a friend canceling her invite to hang out at the dinner thingy. And yeah, it's pretty similar to what we saw of Zoe's past before. I don't feel like it added tons to that.
Yeah. Although we did get to see her be nice to these girls, but like she was already locked into, everyone thinks you're mean. So we did get to see confirmation of that.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just kind of like, what do they hate about Italy so much?
Because she's different.
Oh, yeah, I really think it must be the just the general Japanese, like, you are different and difference is bad.
Difference is bad.
I guess so.
Or also just like, you don't fit in, like, I can especially understand it when there's miscommunication involved. Like, we're all on the same page at this thing and you're confused and like, you can't keep up with us about this thing. Just like little social things, and it's easier to shun that than it is to embrace and teach people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, even if you can justify the Digimon they face up against having insights into their personalities that are strange, each of these episodes starts off much more introspective. Like Tommy's episode starts off with a flashback before we even get any scenes in the present. I think it's just like, so I feel like it was so lazily like, yes, these are episode focused episodes. Sorry. These are character-focused episodes.
Okay. I was like, what?
And like we mentioned before, it did feel a lot like we don't get insight into these characters until this chunk when they get flashbacks. And that's weird, especially looking back at Adventure, because Adventure, for most of the cast, never got any flashbacks and never felt like they had to, you know, like, were limited in telling stories about them or like, getting insight into their characters because of that.
Yeah. I don't... It's just so hard because Adventure was just like better at having character interactions.
I think that's just the thing. That, like, the reason this feels like, oh, we needed flashbacks to see more into the characters is a sign that they were just failing at, like, they should be able to illustrate those things through their character interactions. Like, they can talk about some of the stuff that came up in these flashbacks. These concerns could come up in the present and not just be things that they flash back to, and not just be triggered by one Digimon who likes to look inside their souls to break them down.
Yeah.
Who doesn't even, like, he didn't even say, like, my approach, like, if he said his approach was to do that at some point, then I'd be like, okay, makes more sense, but whatever. Like, does everyone agree that it feels like in Frontier flashbacks were necessary to dive into, to see more about these characters?
Yes.
No, I don't feel like it's ever necessary to take a shortcut with characterization, but, like, it was fast and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be better if they, like, if the kids talked to each other about it.
No, they don't. They're such good friends that they never talk about friendship.
Right.
But they have so many things alike and they never bring it up with each other.
Yeah, the fact that their struggles are so similar to each other, they all revolve around this theme, which none of them ever discuss with each other. They're all just kind of, like, coexisting.
Coexisting.
Unanswered questions.
How does Sakakumon and Mercurymon work?
Yeah.
How does Duskmon work?
How does Duskmon see people's memories? Why is that a thing?
Because he has so many eyes, he can...
No, but what is Duskmon's field of vision?
Yeah, you were asking about that, and Sagan is like, I never actually thought of the eyeballs as giving him sight, but they do, like, turn around and, like, seem to give him tactical advantage, so...
Yeah, that
is the armor alive? Is he seeing it?
Those are his friends. His little eyeballs.
Is it a symbiotic relationship?
They're parasites, yeah.
Gross.
How did that combined attack at the end stop Sakakumon from moving? Like, what about that was any different than any of... I hate everything!
They used Pokemon logic because JP had electrical attacks.
I thought it was just like, overwhelming him, like one attack and then another, that I don't know.
No.
The logic...
It doesn't make sense.
The logic that, like, he becomes vulnerable as soon as you combine attacks, I liked that. Because it was like, he's observed them carefully. Like, it makes... I like a lot of stuff about
Mark. There's no reason for why he can't just mirror back the combined attacks.
Because I don't think the mirroring back, it's not as simple as, like, he sees it happen and then is able to mirror it. He's able to mirror things that happened inside of him. He's only able to mirror back attacks.
They were like, we're going to attack with our beast spirits because you didn't observe that. And they were
stupid. They were stupid. He did observe them. They were all in their beast form inside. Yeah. That was stupid. It made no sense. Technically, you could say that each, like, two individual spheres could do a similar thing, but they're all oriented. They point in opposite directions. They're not synced. I think it works, the metaphor and a plot device. How does Patamon get born with Bokomon's pants?
Yeah.
Or waistband or whatever.
He copied the data.
Yeah, I guess if you say it's data, then you can just shrug off everything. Just like, oh, it's data.
Well, everything in Digimon is data. You should notice after four seasons.
So everything can just be weird. What if he had been born, like, what if Duskmon had held him while he was being born? And then he's like, Patamon was born with eyes everywhere.
He just had a million
everywhere.
Eyeballs.
Yeah. God, no.
Fan art, please.
Someone,
please make that fan art.
Please. Please, yes.
Some point, JP says, I'll have to admit, I guess it's when Frankentrailmon leaves them and is like, I'm not going to the Continent of Darkness, no. And JP says, I'll have to admit, I've been dumped before, but never quite like that. JP, my boy. What, who, when, how?
That's not a thing.
So you're 12.
I have so many questions.
Why did Koji call JP Jeep?
I think it's cute.
No.
I want to know if it was like the voice actor like messed up and then they left it and then they were like, crap, we have to make a joke out of it with the other person. And like, they were just like, cool.
So in case listeners don't remember, it's when they're like going to like embrace JP after he's like defeated his inner demons or whatever. And they're all running to him and Koji says Jeep. And then JP just says like, did you just call me Jeep? You really are my friend
Koji
or whatever.
Just call me Jeep. And then they like ignore it after that. It's like,
I'm like, no, this should not be allowed. This should be illegal.
Didn't somebody also call Takuya Taki?
Yeah.
Oh, JP happened. Does that, but he's done that before.
Yeah, and I missed it the first couple times, but this time I totally caught it.
I don't remember it happening before.
Yeah, he's done it before.
Hmm.
What a loser. Okay.
Any more questions?
Why does Zoe look down her skirt after she falls on top of Takuya, and Takuya's like, why, are you okay?
That one doesn't really work without the picture, which we will find and post social media eventually. It's so bizarre.
It's so weird. Is it different in Japanese? Like, even if it is, what?
I realized something. Why is the egg more powerful than Patamon?
Huh?
Why is the egg more powerful than Patamon?
What do you, the egg?
Why does the egg have any ability to do anything?
I mean, the egg's power. I mean, if you want to get technical, the egg gives away its power and then is birthed as Patamon.
How does the egg know to give away its power?
Because it's responded to people in need.
Wait, wouldn't Patamon technically be more powerful than the egg because he has Seraphimon's data again?
I guess data did come back into the egg. I don't know. I don't think it was like... Also, like, when Digimon get reborn, I guess when they get reborn, they're having lost their factor code. It's all just... None of it really makes sense.
It just doesn't make sense that the egg gives the power twice. When it gets Seraphimon's data back, he hatches and somehow can't do it again for the other three.
Ridiculous dialogue draft, baby!
Before we just go around and pick our top two funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episode, I am going with episode 20, this Franken Trailmon in the beginning, and he goes...
I wish I wrote that down.
All right. I think I only have two written down anyway. Oh, no, I have three. Great. Actually, I'll pick this one. I'm back on paper notes, guys. So this is from episode 25. And Bokemon says,
this is bad. This is very, very bad. It's terrible, even.
You always say bad.
Oh, I do not. But even if I did, which I don't, I'd be right most of the time.
And I wrote it down because, actually, most of the time he would be right. Everything is always terrible.
Okay, I'm going to pick a scene also of Bokemon and Neimon, but from episode 27. Bokemon says, I believe I just saw Koji. And Neimon says, I believe in Santa Claus, but I also saw Koji.
Please leave Andrew's voices in.
And Pokemon's like, please ignore him. How accurate was that?
It doesn't matter because it was hilarious.
I don't even know how I did that.
I believe I just saw Koji up there.
I believe in Santa Claus, but I know I saw Koji.
Everyone picked the good ones already. The only good ones. This is episode 20, and Trubimon, they're reporting to Trubimon, and Trubimon says,
it appears someone is missing.
Indeed, Duskmon is absent.
He's flakier than Pacross.
Groan.
Groan.
For the record, I had two good ones which were already picked. Let the record show.
I'm going to pick Zoe, just because I thought it was funny, because it reminded me of Asher's quote from a while ago. It was Zoe in episode 26 saying,
jeez, if you yell in the forest and no one hears you, is there really any point in yelling at all?
It reminded me of Asher being like the canonical.
Oh, God. If a tree falls in a forest and nobody hears it, is it canonical?
Is it canonical? Yeah. Who knows?
I think that's still like my best anything, my best contribution to this entire podcast. Does that make it my turn again? All right. In pure why was this written lineage, episode 23. Sepikmon, I mean, first of all, everything Sepikmon said was just like, okay, all right, why was this? Why was this here? But the line I have written down is,
so what's it gonna be, boogie or bye-bye?
What? Somebody had to write that line. Somebody was paid to put that line in this show.
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna do one from episode 23, and it's during the time everyone is captured, and Ranamon is about to do stuff, so JP's like,
do your worst! I can take it!
Alright, you asked for it!
Okay.
Yeah, okay, what?
It's a reference, right?
Is it a reference?
I think so.
Did we lose Andrew?
No.
So is it a reference?
Probably.
Okay. Mine, which I'm stealing from Ashley like a beast, like I'm stealing a spirit from her, stripping her of all her agency and power.
That's because I'm a girl, isn't it?
Yeah. None of these are good. There weren't even two good lines in this arc.
I would go with the one, the leadership one, or the cheeseburger one.
I'm going to go with one. I mean, we already kind of spoiled it, but it's, they're all running to help JP, and Koji says,
"Hey, Jeep, you okay?
Speak to me! Did Koji just call me Jeep?"
Right, he doesn't say, did you? It's just like, did this just happen? Did Koji refer to me? Did Koji-senpai? Did senpai notice me?
Koji-senpai.
Oh, I think he's actually older in Japanese, but...
Oh, JP's older than...
Yeah, JP and Koji, do I ship it? I don't know.
No, we already had this discussion.
We had this conversation already, yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
What was the outcome? Is it shipped or not?
It's a ship. I'm sure it exists. You know what?
Is it one-day shipping? Two-day shipping? Free prime delivery?
It's a one-day shipping, definitely.
Okay, Terminal Judgment. Any last thoughts about this arc?
It's like much of Digimon has so much potential squandered.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story of this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love it, but, you know.
So I'm surprised no one's brought it up. Did anyone else, one noticed the line? So, so it happens in episode 20. I think it's like, it's right after they get dumped off by the Trailmon. Did anyone, no one else notice this?
I would have to admit, I've been dumped before, but never quite like that.
I brought it up already.
So, everyone in one piece?
It's the name of the treasure in the grave.
Jeff. It wasn't worth it, Jeff.
It was worth it.
No, it
and then in episode 26.
The others must still be inside of that thing.
Yes. Let's just hope they make it out in one piece.
It's the name of the treasure in the grand.
It's not worth it, Jeff.
I thought it was weird. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Weird that it cut to One Piece randomly. Did anyone else notice when Tommy scans Ashuramon that like his face randomly turns to the happy smiley face while he's being scanned? It was super creepy.
Oh, I did see that. Well, I thought that was the point.
To say it was creepy or that he was, like, happy that Tommy won or whatever?
I'm not sure all of these Digimon were real.
Yeah,
every time the kids scanned one of them, it seemed like that was Sakakumon's plan.
Oh, so, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Although, why would he want them to get out? Oh, because he wanted them to see their attacks.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I buy it. I ship it. I ship that theory with me.
What?
I ship the theory with my brain.
Oh, okay.
Any favorite Trailmon or terminals?
What? There was only Franken Trailmon, and he's already been established to be the best Trailmon.
I thought so too, but then he was... I'm gonna let you finish, but Dark Trailmon was the best Trailmon of the arc. The best Trailmon of all arc.
Nope. Franken Trailmon's still the best Trailmon.
I think Dark Trailmon was surprisingly weirdly funny in those
he
occasional
was pretty
lines.
Good, I bet, but yeah. Franken Trailmon is still the best.
Yeah. Dark Trailmon's better for this arc.
Franken Trailmon.
I don't think he was
the essence of what all Trailmon should be.
I also think the Dark Terminal is underrated, and I just want I just want people to appreciate it, because I thought it was just a BS and didn't make any sense, and there is some like lore about it. I forget where I read it, but like that, like it only appears to people who are in like questioning themselves and whatever. But I think it actually makes sense that none of the Trailmon were willing to go to the Continent of Darkness, right? And so there's this one terminal that's in there that's blocked off from everything else, and maybe it has, like, it connects directly to the outside, to the human world, just like the Flame Terminal did. And that's why Takeda was able to go to the human world so easily from there, which is not normally accessible because no other Trailmon are willing to get there. And also, it would explain why Duskmon, I don't want this world to me, because I forget how it happens exactly, but how Duskmon / Koji 2.0 gets to the digital world. But I suspect... It's not spelled out, but I suspect that, like, you can headcanon that the Dark Trailmon was involved, and that that's why he ended up in that dark area and under Trubimon's influence. And I like the idea that, like, because I forget exactly this. Oh, like, Trubimon refers to Duskmon's destiny in ways that felt very similar to the way Ofanimon's talked to the kids. And so it's like, these are basically like, he got sent off to Trubumon and was like influenced on Trubumon's side, much like the kids were on Ofanimon's, which I like, just because of where he ended up. Sorry.
Okay.
Dark Terminal, Best Terminal.
No, but okay.
Obviously,
Terminal is the best terminal.
Also, the reason Takuya ended up at the Dark Terminal was clearly because Duskmon, in a moment of premonition, whatever, in his torment, he brought Takuya there to go back in time to prevent himself from coming to the digital world. Because he was like, oh, I'm being so tormented here of darkness. Go prevent me from happening. Totally.
Okay.
But no. Takuya did not find a key.
Keyblade?
Takuya sucks.
So, what? MVP, Takuya?
No, actually, Takuya is my MVP.
Really? Nice transition. Nice segue.
Because Takuya's the only one who, like, grew at all. He had his whole, I went home and it was the
he
same,
went home,
but I wasn't.
And then he went
and
not home.
I was
home.
Like, ah, I feel you, Takuya. So, Takuya.
Okay.
My actual answer.
Asher, who's your MVP?
I think I would agree with that. He's not annoying anymore, and he can do things. So that I can appreciate that in a character.
Not annoying, can do things. Yes.
Not grossly incompetent.
Andrew. Since you are all I identify with these characters the most, which one do you identify with the most?
Technically all of them except Takuya and Koji. Maybe Zoe, because I wasn't from anywhere.
Well, that's more than half of them now.
You resonate them with him because you also weren't a real character. You also were...
Are you picking Tommy?
Yes.
Tommy was pretty good, too.
Tommy is probably the one I'm most like, and Ash can probably attest to that.
True. But it's also like, Tommy is now the most reliably least annoying character.
It's ironic because we all think he was annoying when we were children.
Yeah.
I wonder if we, like, as kids, if we thought he was annoying in this section, or if it was just in the beginning. Because he was more annoying.
I just
feel
like as kids, you're more susceptible to that initial impression. Like,
yeah, and sticking with it throughout.
Yeah.
Well, I guess since I'm Tommy now, I guess I have to replace Ash with not Ty.
Yutaka?
I
like Yutaka.
Apparently there's a fan theory / consensus or whatever. So Yutaka in Japanese, he's unnamed, which at first I heard, I was like, okay, but that's Yutaka is such a Japanese name. It's also a, I forget the word, the same letters as Takuya.
Same scrambled. Kanji?
Anagram?
No, like in English. English letters.
Oh, it's an anagram.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, it is.
It's
no,
not in Japanese.
Not.
It's not in Japanese, but it...
No, it's not in English either. Oh, wait, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Let's debate anagrams in the podcast. Okay, I'm going to let all you finish, and I did, but Mercurymon was the best Digimon of all time.
Merucrymon?
Merucrymon.
Merukimon?
I thought his isolating the kids and taking them down 101 with insecurities.
You picked the Mercurymon? Are you for real right now?
I thought, okay. He had so much scheming, so many plans. I like that he
was let you finish, but you're wrong.
Insolent, not insolent, maybe that's the right word. Like, that he disobeyed Trubumon, tried to get away with his thing, and Trubumon was like, nope, you're not getting away with that, but like, you better report back to me next time. And his plans, he actually had so many, they all fail, but they all seem pretty reasonable. They all are like pretty, they're all like some of the best Digimon schemes, I think, in general. I mean, maybe they don't be like Devimon's mansion, which isn't that great of a plan. It's just the kids are stupid. But anyway, he isolates the kids and takes them down one by one by going into their insecurities. Then that taking them down with their insecurities is actually not his real plan. His real plan was, well, I guess all these things are like things that could have worked, and if it did work, it would have been great. But the fallback for that was that he was just trying to observe their attacks to use them against them later. He takes on Takuya one-on-one right after Takuya's made a big show about friendship. Like, he comes back from Tokyo and then is like, we're stronger together, we can beat you. And that's when Mercurymon, you know, devises his plan, whatever. It's not really much of a plan because it's basically just all Skakumon exists for is this splitting them up into different worlds thing. But he splits them up. He takes Takuya on one-on-one. I figure his plan was to, like, you know, defeat Takuya with his, like, big Shadow Shroffingmon plan. And then the group would fall apart. Absorbing attacks. Skakumon's good plan. And I thought I bought that way that he was defeated with their hybridizing their attacks was cleverly written in that, like, yeah, that's something he never could have observed because he split them up. Something he's defeated because he never saw them unsplit up.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you that Mercurymon is perhaps one of the most clever Digimon villains. That does not mean that I like him or want to pick him as my favorite character.
When I finished catching up, I actually went on Plurk and was like, you know, you talk about how extra your characters are, but nobody has ever in this world of fiction ever been more extra than Mercurymon from Digimon Frontier. And yeah, I would be right.
What does extra mean?
Yeah, extra. Extra means like over the top, dramatic, ridiculous.
Perfectionist.
And what is Plurk?
It's where I go when I don't want to talk to you people.
What is it?
It's a social Jeff's network.
It's basically an instant messenger.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like Twitter.
I've seen it on Asher's computer, and I've been like, I don't understand this at all.
Twitter and Tumblr. Twitter and Tumblr had a really ugly baby, but it's where the Dream with RP scene is. So.
Recommendation articulation. This is our segment where we plug things we want to hug. Ashley, what do you want to hug this week? Do you have any hugging in you?
I do. I want to hug Cyborg 009 Call of Justice, which is the new Cyborg 009 series, which is, it's awful. I'm not going to say that it's not. But, okay, my feelings about Cyborg 009 are so complicated. I can't probably explain it in a minute, but like, I love Cyborg 009. So much. And you know, if any of you watch it and you want to talk about it with me, like, I so want to talk about it. I think Cyborg 009 is one of those formative anime for me. It was on Toonami. I will fight people and say, well, yeah, it only aired, like, there were 52 episodes, it aired 26. One of those formative anime, the ending song, I will contest, is probably the hottest song to ever have aired on Toonami. So you know what? Cyborg 009 is great. I love it. Go look it up. Genesis of Next. Okay. It's a great song.
but what about the series that you're recommending now?
What?
This series you're recommending now. Talk about it.
Why do I have to talk about it? It has bad animation.
Yeah, it's what you're recommending, actually. You should talk about it.
No.
Bad CGI, bad writing.
Bad CGI, bad weird religious stuff still happening. But, you know, I really like the character designs. I like 003's design. You know, I'm excited. I'm only like, less than halfway through. So, you know, it has time to redeem itself, maybe.
How many episodes is it?
12.
Is there more coming, or is it just these 12 episodes?
I have no idea. I think it's just these 12 episodes, because it was the three movies. It's doing the try thing. It was movies that they split into episodes. Yeah.
I see.
My turn?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my spring semester started this week, so I don't have anything new to recommend, but I have been listening to Welcome to Night Vale again when I work out in the morning. And previously, I had been listening to it pretty much from the beginning, but I fell off the wagon around the start of year two. But year two is really intense and really good. Like, plot-wise, I think it's the best year so far. Year three was very emotional. And year four, I think, is my favorite. So I figured it's actually been long enough that our listeners may not have heard of Night Vale somehow. So please do listen. You can find them by just Googling Welcome to Night Vale, and like 50 different ways to listen to the show will come up. Also, a great way to find new music, because they play pretty much an indie song every time.
Ew, every hipster episode. Music.
It's very hipstery. You wouldn't like it, Ashley.
There's songs usually, I'm usually surprised by, like, and usually I'm like, oh, this song sounds pretty good, pretty cool. But usually I'm listening at 2x speed, so I'm like, is this song any good at 1x speed? I don't know.
Yes. It also gets better after year one, the music.
Oh. Andrew.
I mean, okay, I could recommend Dragon Ball Super, but it's Dragon Ball and everyone knows what that is. But I'm going to plug Daisuke again. And the reason is because they are actually adding more classic anime, except it's mostly mecha at the moment. Like, for instance, they added Aura Battler Doonbine, which is vaguely similar to Escalfoni in the sense that it's medieval-like world with Mecca.
You miss the appeal of Escaflowne.
where are the Bishojos?
Yeah.
Bishonen? Sorry. Bishonen.
Okay, yeah, like, the more... If people actually sign up for this, we might get more classic anime in the West.
Hmm. So I'm going to plug a manga series called World Trigger. And I guess full disclosure, I do work for the company that publishes in English. So, you know, keep that in mind. This is not an unbiased recommendation. Although I'll start off by saying that it is a very bland series to start with. I would not recommend buying a bunch of volumes with it to see if you like it. You should, you know, check it out on from your library or somewhere else, or borrow it from friends or something, because it really might not stick with you at first. It's not like saying that you could buy the first couple of volumes up and you're like, these first couple of volumes are great. It has a very slow appeal, but after you get into it, the world takes a while to get into, but it's really great. It's kind of a mix of a sports manga and a typical Shonen Jump action series, where the action stuff going on, they have battles to compete for ranks and stuff, and the tactics in those battles are really smart and clever, and probably the best tactical action stuff in manga that I've seen before. And it really does have a very dull feel, because the stakes of the battles are fairly low. Like, they're always fighting in what seems like a typical Shonen fighting kind of stuff, but they're fighting with temporary bodies that are projections, so they can have their arms cut off, their heads cut off and stuff without actually hurting at all. So there are times where it's someone's head gets cut off, and the next panel they're like, okay, cool. Or someone's arm cut off, and they're like, okay, I'm gonna keep fighting, I'll use this weapon and this arm, and it's like, wait, what, your arm was just cut off? And it's like, because they're not, it's not real. And so if you go into it with expectations of oh, it's gonna be so epic, it's really not the kind of thing that's oh my god, there's so much, the roller coaster emotion is so high. It's not that. It's instead a calm, cool, and collected battle manga, and the sports aspect I really like, but it takes a while to get there because the sports aspect of it doesn't kick in until 15 volumes, I think. Anyway, yeah, well, because there's an invasion that happens before they go back to the normal everyday rank wars, that they call it, stuff. So yeah, it's cool and worth checking out. But
I mean, it sounds up my alley.
Oh, cool. But yeah, it definitely feels dull at first, and then gets better. And I also want to mini plug something that's, I don't know if it's actually going to be any good. There's only one chapter of it by the time this episode comes out.
It U19?
No, it's not that. It's actually, it's something that hasn't come out at the time of this recording, but will be out by the time the episode comes out. It's the next. So it's a manga called Demon Prince Poro's Diaries. There's only one chapter of it out. It just started in Japan and in US Shonen Jump. And it's basically, the concept is, it's a cute version of One Punch Man almost, except it's a demon prince who is the strongest in the land, who really loves Japan and wants to come to Japan, and also can beat anyone because he's the strongest ranked demon, but doesn't care about beating people. And it was just it's a really good, funny chapter, and I really hope this series as well. And the way this kind of works is twofold. In the Japanese Shonen Jump magazine, things have to be popular to stay alive. So it can have 8 chapters, and if the 8 chapters aren't very popular, it'll be cut off after 8 chapters. And also, to be translated into the US, into the English Shonen Jump, it needs to be popular, it needs to be a lot of support for it. Because the English Shonen Jump doesn't carry everything that's in the Japanese Shonen Jump. So, and the way that happens in English Shonen Jump is the first 3 chapters of every series are previewed, and based on the public response to those first 3 chapters, they're considered for being translated into English magazine every week. So you can check it out. By the time this podcast comes out, you can buy the latest issue of Shonen Jump, and it's in there. And if you like it, then you can vote for it in the survey, and that'll help it get translated. And if it's popular, they can keep it alive. Anyway, that's why I'm plugging it as an extra plug, because I don't know if it's actually going to be good in the long run, but... You can find the full show notes and comments there for this episode at podiges.com/403. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode, which is your favorite Linkin Park song, or whether JP and Koji is the best ship, or why Mercury Run's the best. But you can also go to the episode page to vote on your favorite Ridiculous Dialogue draft pick, and to rate how much you like this arc. You can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Will thread, the Digimon subreddit thread for this episode, or by screaming Linkin Park lyrics loud enough that we hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I will come find you.
If you want to be featured on the next feedback episode, you can also answer our fortnightly-ish voicemail question. Whose backstory did you like the most? You can either call 913-CALUMON if you're in the U.S., or email an audio recording of 90 seconds or less to podigious@gmail.com.
Our new Agunimon artwork this season is by Jubi Amajo on DeviantArt.
Podigious is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion Patrimon, Diabjomon, who is at Tokujo on Twitter, Joe Kido, Kailunamon, Kaiserwashi, Michael, Stevie Patamon from podcast The Moncast, which is about Pokemon and Digimon, and Red from fellow Digimon podcast Breakfast with Digimon. Our ultimate Patrimon, David Graumon, and Marcus, who submitted the topic for this week's episode, and our mega Patrimon, Sam Kruagamon, who is also on the Moncast, and his official plug is his partner's Tumblr, which is purple-pixel.tumblr.com. You will find awesome Animal Crossing drawings there.
And see, our Patrimon are really cool because they have distinct evolution levels, so we know how cool they are based on...
Yeah, we know how powerful they each are, or whatever.
Yeah, and who would win in a fight.
Yeah, we totally know.
For $1 a month, you can join a private group chat on Slack. You can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scene notes for $3, a new sticker and button every month for $10, ability to choose episode topics for $15, and a monthly Skype hangout with Jeff and Ashley for $25 a month. And Ashley and I are later this weekend going to record our first commentary track about Attack on Titan to prepare for Attack on Titan Season 2 starting in a couple months. That should be exciting. It's been a while since we saw it. We haven't, I think it was airing when we watched it. Or it was like, it had recently aired when we first watched it. But that was like...
Yeah, we watched it while it aired, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
You know, what?
Yeah, we did.
I know, because I stopped talking
about it.
Yeah. All right. You can find Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. You can sort of find the ghost of me on Tumblr at Asher Dashery. Andrew is on Twitter at Drew Softman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ashley's on Twitter at...
AshMcD00.
And Jeff is on Twitter at...
@JeffFriendlyJeff.
Share the podcast with your friends who invite you to their camping grounds, and don't share the podcast with mean bully liars.
You mean a president?
Oh.
Oh.
Truth.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving.
Feels like a melon.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 403.
Takes the midnight train going anywhere.
Yes.
As great as the don't stop believing part is. Oh, you skipped over right-headed versus goggle-headed. You didn't like that?
Because it was bad.
Oh, come on.
It was bad.
Right-headed versus goggle-headed. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I've had goggle-heads for four seasons and it took me that long to...
Instead... The plot clones Koji, who promptly meets his greatest enemy, Stairs.
I thought you'd go for Demi-chan.
But he's not a Demi-chan. The point of Demis is that they're human with...
All right, all right. No, we're Jack, not getting
into
this.
We never agree with your references because they're wrong.
Well, see, that's a case where Andrew likes the thing that it's referenced to, but not technically a good enough reference. Okay. Takuya returns with a weather forecast app installed, becomes the Avatar, and reunites with his lover to save the Almost characters from being tickled.
Who's the lover?
Koji!
Jesus!
Yeah! Come on!
What's wrong with you?
Many things.
Get out. Yeah. Just get out of here.
I mean, Koji's lover is debatable, but like Takuya's lover is... There's no room for debate there.
A.K.A. You can stand under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A, 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 A.
Was there an umbrella in this arc? What?
Yes.
Well, yes!
Oh, yeah. Okay. That totally was. That totally was. Yeah, never mind.
Oh, okay.
It was all about, that flashback was all about that. I forgot about that. I didn't.
Yes.
I was thinking visually. I couldn't visually remember one because it was just talked about.
Okay.
They showed it.
They showed umbrellas.
So I pasted in Slack, speaking of umbrellas, a Japanese umbrella that has a panty shot
on it.
Oh my god,
no! Why would you share this with us?
I still understand how it works. Like, is it the underside of the umbrella or is it over?
Yes.
Like,
it's the underside.
It's definitely the underside of the umbrella.
Oh, so I see, because you're looking up the pants.
That's terrible. Why would you inflict this
Japan
on innocent people?
AKA us.
I don't apologize. Sorry, not sorry.
You should.
You should.
In episode 27...
This mirror just got queer. Hey. Religious imagery.
I looked up rhymes with from mirror, and I was like, queer, great.
I like it.
I also do really like mirror, mirror on the brawl. But
kind of like that, too.
No.
Whatever.
No.
Our heroes bust some balls through teamwork.
Oh. Wow.
You realize no one's going to know what Are You Afraid the Dark is, right?
That's not true.
That's not true at all.
Anyone our age.
Any 90s kid will know.
What if we're not all 90s kids?
I think most of our listeners are.
Yeah.
Are they?
The impression I get is that they're like slightly younger than us, which
although
still makes them
I've
90s
had the
kids.
Horrible realization. All right. So my 10th graders, they're 10 years younger than me.
Yes.
They were born like after 9/11, some of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all of them. And then my second graders are 20 years younger than me.
Yes.
There are human beings that have thoughts.
Wait, that's not possible, Ash. Math doesn't...
They can talk, and they're 20 years younger than me.
Wait, but Ash, that math doesn't... The 10th graders can't be 10 years, and the second graders 10 years more.
All right, maybe the 10th graders are 12 years younger than me.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that still stands. 20 years younger being able to walk and talk is freaky.
Right.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that I'm going to be older than, like, Power Rangers actors.
Wait, does that mean they're born...
You are.
Does that mean many of them were born, like, after 2010?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
No, wait. No.
But
2009.
Basically, they grew up during Obama presidency.
The youngest second graders are 7.
Right. So they would have been born, some of them would be born in 2010.
No.
Well,
it's barely 2017. Jeff.
Right. I guess so. Yeah, by next school year, that'd be true, I guess.
Yes. But by next year, I will not be teaching second grade anymore.
Yes, from really second grade, who evolved to third grade.
God.
Oh, it's just when I was a teaching assistant in high school, I was teaching sixth graders. And now thinking about they're like out of college. Ugh.
Ugh.
Okay. Sorry, I just coughed into Ashley's dresses.
Stop coughing into my freaking clothes.
I was lying. I was facing my side.
Yeah, cough into your own clothes.
You guys share a closet?
Yeah. They have one bedroom.
Do you think that San Francisco apartments have multiple closets?
Yeah. I mean, we have two closets, but one of them is like a jacket closet.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's true. I guess we do have two closets. There's no time because it's just darkness. It's darkness always.
It's just dark. Dark.
Every day, every hour is...
Darkness.
I can't...
Darkness. Darkness.
I can't wait for humanity to go out into space.
Can't wait for what?
I can't wait for humanity to go out into space where time doesn't mean anything.
I thought you said when Yu-Gi-Oh! Goes out to space, and I was like, yes, I want my Yu-Gi-Oh! In space series. I'm still waiting for it.
Kaiba went into space already, so
yeah,
whatever.
But he's just one dude. I want everyone to be in space. Everyone should have their own space elevator, not just Kaiba.
Oh, wait, what? Okay,
In the recent movie, Kaiba has a space elevator, because he...
For no reason.
He needs to recreate he has to put together the Millennium Puzzle again, and so he has to go into zero gravity to have a computer
do it.
That's
so important! What?
There is literally no point to that.
It's actually pretty great.
The movie was great.
It's such a ridiculous spectacle, that one part. But what is a shadow, really, Ashley?
What is a shadow?
What if I got the snip snip fruit and cut out the shadows under my eyeballs?
All right, we can move on. I will admit that that makes One Piece more intriguing, but also One Piece is
daunting. There's a ton there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, guys,
like,
I don't
want to catch up. I'm just like exhausting. Maybe this summer.
I mean, the arc you're in is notoriously long, and
yeah.
It works a lot better as a, like, you know, like a marathon thing. Apparently, people who read it week to week. Well, apparently, people who read it week to week were like, "Oh my god, we've been in this thing for a year and nothing's happened."
Well, that's why I keep falling off. Is like once I catch up.
I mean, that's how it was with Bleach too. I'd be like, "This is so boring to read chapter by chapter."
Bleach is much more guilty of that than One Piece ever is. Like, typical fights in One Piece, like, fights in One Piece never go, like, at most a couple chapters. But the thing with the arc that Ash is in of One Piece is that, like, each individual fight is only, like, a couple of chapters. But, like, it's this whole elaborate situation. Like, there's so much going on.
So many characters. Yeah. Like, I can't do this anymore.
So it just like cycles through them, and like there's so many characters so that like Game it of takes Thrones. Forever.
I also don't keep up with Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I guess it has that problem too, which like you're spending so much time cycling through everyone that like each individual character only got a couple moments, but you're like, oh yeah, that was a meaty season because they like got three scenes. Like
right, Game of Thrones, like it's like each episode spends like 3 minutes with a different character, and then.
Or just, like, you look at, like, a season of Game of Thrones, and you're like, oh, yeah, this character, what do? They, like, you know, went from point A to point B, and, like, very little changed.
Or they died.
Yeah, or they died.
Or they're dead.
That's one's like big. Most of the time, it's just, like, they've progressed a little bit further on their character arc that has been obvious from the beginning.
Cool.
They're dead.
You know, Ash, I think you're being a...
Patootie!
That's, what?
That's Takuya saying patootie.
Okay, well, that's...
It's hard to hear.
Yeah. You should delete that one and have a new slot.
Fine. I'm putting it in my lavender soundboard.
Lavender, can I go?
Lavender, lavender, lavender.
I'm trying to find something that Ash requested.
Oh, but I'm not doing my topic anymore.
Oh, you canceled it?
Yeah, because we're 20 minutes over already.
Oh, okay.
And also, like, anything I was going to say about this is something someone can look up if they're curious.
Do you want to at least say that, like, if you want to look up Sephiroth?
If you want to look, well, don't look up Sephiroths, because then you'll find, you know, Sephiroth. Yeah.
Sephiroth!
All right, I'll say, like, a word about it. So, Sekakumon is originally named Sephirothmon, I guess. Sephirotmon?
Yeah, I think it's Sephirotumon.
But, that is a thing that comes from Kabbalah, which is a Jewish mystic tradition. The Sefirot represent 10 aspects of God. They're pretty controversial. They were controversial in their time. And they are also fascinating. And if that is your thing, you should look it up or contact, well, there's no way to contact me, but if you are, contact the show and ask me to give a little extra lecture thing later apart from the show, and I'll do that.
Cool. My little nitpick with Digimon naming is that the commonly used spelling of Ophanimon's Japanese name keeps the F, but in Seraphimon and Sephirothmon, or Sephirothmon, they change it to a PH. And I'm like, it's the same thing in Hebrew for both, for all three of them. But
yeah, most people have heard of Seraphs and Sephiroth. I don't think too many people have heard of Ophanim, which are also a type of angel from Hebrew, from Jewish lore. They are the wheels.
I wonder, are there Nephilim Digimon?
Yeah. Yeah, but they're not, those aren't angels. Are you thinking of, Many Waters?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also from Hebrew.
I'm mostly thinking of...
They're not angels.
I'm mostly thinking of, like, pluralized Hebrew words I can think of. Like, things end in im.
Well, that's many, many Hebrew words. But, they're not really angels. They're different.
Looks like there's no Digimon that's Nephilim, though.
Well, that's a shame, because that could be really cool. There's a lot a Digimon could build on, but again, Nephilim are not as known in common culture.
Right. There's a Nephilim sword, apparently, which...
Cool.
I don't know what this is from, but it's just a Digimon wiki page. Just a picture of a sword.
No, the best moment was when we were in English class, in homeroom English class, and then Jeff was like... sitting behind me and for some reason started like feeling my abs, and then other people in the class were like, Jeff, stop sexually harassing Ashley. Like, what are you doing? Okay,
it was not, it was something like you invited me to, and then
I did not invite you to.
You were like bragging about how you had abs, and I was like, oh yeah.
No, yeah, that's an invitation.
No, it was definitely you. I had your consent, but it did not appear like I did.
Asher is so suspect of this. Also, I would like to say on the Cyborg 009 front that if Andrew is all into old anime, part of my fascination with Cyborg 009 is that in Japan they keep remaking this. Like, why? What is Japan's fascination with Cyborg 009? Like, I really want to know. Like, so I keep watching it, trying to figure it out.
Well, also with Cyborg 009, it's basically a prototype Kamen Rider and prototype Super Sentai.
You can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podigis.com/403. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode. I can't even remember what we talked about. What did we talk about?
Darkness!
We talked so long I've forgotten everything.
Darkness. Friendship. is magic. It's My Little Pony meets Kingdom Hearts.
We're talking about My Little Pony. What were the controversial things? Why Mercurymon's the best?
Controversial things? Whether
power levels.
Junpei and Koji is a ship. Apparently, there is no material for this yet,
what?
Jeff. So, yeah.
What?
I know.
Huh. I am. I guess because a lot of people don't empathize much with JP. There probably isn't much JP shipping.
Yeah, that might be it. He's also, you know, not stereotypically pretty, so he doesn't get shipped quite as much.
Hmm. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you just didn't pick Darkness. Linkin Park songs.
Okay. You can find the full show notes and comments there for this episode at patages.com/403.
So, do either of you want to be on the episode tomorrow? I assume no, but I'll ask anyway. Brothers!
What?
Live episode. Tomorrow? Yes, no?
I can't. Sorry.
Nah. Andrew? Was that a nah?
Did anyone hear that?
Yeah,
I heard it.
Yeah.
It was
like half robot, half.
Awesome.
Can I go? Oh,
that's what Andrew sounds like now.
Andrew, what happened?
What?
I don't know, he became a robot. I hope that.
All right, just read your line.
Okay, that's what I've been waiting for.
Okay, Andrew, I think we need to take over from you for the outro.
Are you a good one? Or what this season is about? What are you guys doing?
Okay, we'll play it back to you later. I'll send you a clip later, it sounds like.
Why does local recording it should be fine, right?
I'm worried there's like a connection issue between like on the USB cable or something.
So it's now Judy and Joe, right?
Yes, but not in a robot voice. Okay.
What is wrong with my voice? I'm in a happy day.
You have some reverb going on.
Yeah, it's like crazy reverb.
Wait. That's odd.
Okay. Just stay on the call so we don't, like, mess up the timing or anything, but please stop talking, because it sounds so weird. Because then Ashley needs to do the people.
Is it really that bad?
It's really that bad.
It's like, it sounds like you're, like, a robot overlord or something. Like, you're, like, a... I imagine you're on a giant screen with a giant head, just...
Okay, it sounds cool. I
want to
hear this.
Super cool.
I think I've heard this happening when like recordings go too long. It might be a Skype thing.
It might
be. It's probably Skype because I can hear you guys perfectly.
Whew. Okay, sound effects now.
Okay, I think then everything else is intact, right? Oh, wait, no, there's still one more. I don't know colors.
You obey my every command.
Go.
I hope your end is catching, is recording on this, Jeff.
Yeah. If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon. For $1 a month, you can join a private group chat on Slack, where lately we've been talking about... What have we been talking about? May lost her dog. May lost their dog recently. That's...
Oh, no.
And then found them, like, 4 hours later.
Oh, okay. But
I think everyone was talking about dual links.
I didn't catch that, Andrew. Yeah,
I don't know what you said, but
everyone
yes.
was talking about Duel Links, the Yu-Gi-Oh app.
I see.
Yeah.
That's a really good
I had to leave video games because.
How is Jeff the only one who can understand Andrew?
I speak robot.
Because Jeff speaks Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I recognize Duel Links, so yeah. Duel Links is really great, but Fire Emblem Heroes is better.
Yes.
I don't know, I'm bored with it already.
Really?
It's hard.
Well, I finished the story mode, so now I'm like, eh.
See, I was mostly playing it, I couldn't find a way to change, because my phone was in Japanese, I couldn't find a way to change it to English for a while. So it was really hard for me to do anything. But then yesterday, or a couple days ago, I found a way to change it to English, so I'm like, whoa, everything makes sense now. There's like, also the font in English is so much prettier. But yeah, lately we've been talking about stuff.
Andrew, where are you at?
I'm on Twitter at Drew Softman.
Yeah, you are.
I feel bad because we're just laughing at everything Andrew says. But, like...
He doesn't understand our laughter. It's just mean.
Wait, hey, I'll try
we'll show you later. We'll show
yeah,
you
I'll
later.
Try to preserve as much as possible, too.
Oh.
Ooh.
Andrew, can you do that O thing? Oh.
Oh.
Hey, whoa.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Thanks.
That's so frightening. I'm so scared right now.
Did anyone see there was like, it sounded like there was like a bird noise before the laughter started?
Yeah.
Oh, good God. Wait, actually, you even said bye yet, have you?
I did say bye. Bye. Okay. I'll say it again. I don't know.
And remember,
Andrew,
never
stop figure out how to reproduce this.
Any suggestions of what I can say?
No. No.
Say Digivolve your differences.
Digivolve your differences.
That sounds so threatening.
say never stop digivolving, but say it threateningly.
Never stop digivolving.
Oh my God.
Yako is love. What?
I said Andrew's been corrupted by Cherubimon.
It sounds like we are like trying to imitate some evil voice or something. Yeah, what else can we say?
Autobots roll out.
Kind of almost, actually.
What else can I do?
I think we're good.
Pikachu, I choose you. Okay. My voice still doing the thing.
You're still doing the thing.
I want to do more lines.
Do it on your own time.
Lines of Coke? Andrew, what? You don't need to do Coke.
My evolution.
That sounds terrifying.
What else can we do? Say, bullseye baby.
Bullseye baby.
Say, it's just so lavender.
It's just so lavender.
I love it. That one's good. Replace all our soundboards.
Yeah, all our soundboards are just Andrew.
Sting on.
Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of fear.
What, so what terrifying.
Bring on the beef, baby.
Bring on the beef, baby.
That one didn't come out as well.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Down on the wall.
Without death, Kingdom Hearts is light.
I know without a doubt that Kingdom Hearts is light.
Oh, light sounds so frightening that way.
also do some.
Supreme darkness.
I can put in the
Supreme
in the intro.
Supreme darkness.
Oh my God.
It's time to duel.
What's that?
Yes!
Beemon, I'm your friend!
I think I'm getting used to it now.
Yeah.
I'm no longer crying.
No longer crying!
All right.
Wait, one question I want to start asking. We don't need to have like long answers. Just like, are you excited for the next arc that we're going to cover? The more Dustmon and defeating Trubimon?
Yes.
Yes?
I am. Because there's... Mostly because there's one moment at the end of the Cherubimon fight that I appreciate. Like, after the Cherubimon fight. Very last moment of that episode.
Is it another jacket scene?
No, unfortunately. It is not a Koizumi moment.
There aren't that many.
There
are plenty. Don't test me.
There was a moment in this that we didn't talk about where Zoe grabs Koji, yeah, and then she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like super blushing. Like, yes. Yeah,
right. I wrote that moment down, but we don't have shipping corner.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. We need Asher shipping corner.
I'll just have a shipping topic next time.
Okay.
I'm so mad there's no JP and Koji.
Well, get cracking.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Asher and I wrote a fanfic. Y'all should go read
that. Oh, we should have plugged that.
Yeah, we're dumb. Right. We're not good at marketing.
I thought of one last thing. The digi wrap.
Oh, God.
No, do it.
Are you ready? Are you looking up the lyrics? You don't know the digi rap by heart, Andrew?
Digi rap by heart, what the heck?
The digi evolution is up and running. Did you see? Did you hear? Did you know it was coming?
Yeah, I'm on anime right now.
Oh, okay.
All right. Ready to go? I'm ready. Ready. Let's go. The digi evolution is up and running. Did you see? Did you hear? Did you know it was coming? Our digi destiny starts to say, let me hear you say, Digimon.
That was so scary.
When Digi fights in hand, the Digi dynamic force in the Digi land, the Digi path and the Digi dragon collide, time to Digi fight.
What?
Okay, I think that's a good note to end on.
Yeah.
Digi world is Digi safe, and now only it's Digi fate. Good Digimon to protect my life will have to Digi fight.
Okay, let's all say Digivolve Your Differences on the count of zero. I'm not going to say zero, but when I would say zero is when we start saying it, okay?
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Digivolve
Your Differences! Terrifying.